across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. For those about to talk, we salute you. Talk Radio.
Good evening, dear listener. Thank you, George. I'm just rooting around in my bag for my my hard drive. There's the hard drive. I might have to borrow a lead of some. Everything's gone to cock. Don't worry. We'll sort it out. Ian Lee, Talk Radio. Here's the news.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Up. There we go. There we go.
It might seem crazy wearing stripes of pride. I Instagram every meal I've had.
All my
youth liquor bottles are on display. We can go to see a show, but I'll make you pay.
Had a cab today. I've spent 5.5 hours of, there's not even an exaggeration, 5.5 hours of my today has been in a car, pretty much going 4 or 5 junctions up the M4, then back. It took me 2 hours, 2 hours to get into work. On a good day, it'd take 50 minutes. Wah! Flipping heck. 2 hours. And I had to go into, I had to drive pretty much close to work this morning to go and, Sam Delaney does a programme for Russia Today. I always feel slightly dodgy about that. But apparently if you get paid in rubles, you don't have to declare it. So that's good. And I had one of those cab drivers who was a delightful gentleman, because I believe he's going to be listening tonight. 0844 499 1000. But boy, that cab driver's lived a life. He's lived a life. He's seen and done things that we could only imagine. he was telling me, he showed me pictures of his wife and him on a cruise. That was nice. That was nice to know. He also he said to me, "Do you remember on the buses?" I went, yeah, I do. I remember on the buses. He said, right, well, Reg Varney couldn't drive the bus. So in the on... Now, I've not seen the On the Buses movie for years and years and years, right? But he said in the On the Buses movie, he said Reg, they would film the long shot. They'd film the close-ups of Reg behind the wheel, right? But then Reg would get out and I would take over the driving. This guy was Reg Varney's stunt double for a scene filmed at Windsor Safari Park where he had to have monkeys climbing all over him. So my cab driver today, and I have no... I mean, I believe it 100%. Because if you're going to make something up, make up that you've had it off with Pamela Anderson or something. Don't make up you were Reg Varney's stunt double for that scene in the On the Buses movie when there's a monkey on the bus. That's an insane thing to make up. Of course he did it. Then we were talking about property and stuff. And he was telling me how he bought his first house in the mid-70s. He said it was a very nice house. It was worth about £45,000. The woman died, which was a lot of money back then. The woman died and her son was a junkie. So he wanted to sell it for £19,000, right? And this guy was £5,000 short. £5,000 short. Do you know who gave him the money? Gary Glitter. Now, because he used to be Gary Glitter's chauffeur. I know. Isn't it brilliant? And we were talking. And when I say we were talking, he was talking for the hour and a half, pretty much non-stop, that I was in the back of his car. And it was a joy. It was a joy to listen to. Yes, I was tired. Yes, I'd only had 4 hours sleep. Yes, I'd had one of those nights sleep where I knew I had to get up. So therefore, I couldn't get to sleep. And I wouldn't have minded having a cheeky little doze in the back of the car. But when someone has lived a life as exciting as being Reg Varney's stunt double, and having a house bought for you by Gary Glitter. And apparently, and then he was telling me that when things started to turn bad for Glitter, not really bad, you know, not when he got, you know, not when he got that, but in the early, I guess in the late 70s, early 80s. And he was saying that he was in Gary Glitter's house and there was a knock at the door and he opened the door and it was an estate agent who'd come to value everything. And they all went, oh, no, this is Gary's house. You know, he owns it. Goes, no, it's owned by Gary's management and they're selling it. It's not exactly the most pivotal moment in rock history. I know we had Patty Boyd on earlier on in the run of shows, who was the first time John Lennon ever took LSD. Perhaps a slightly more pivotal moment in rock and roll history. But still, as they go, Alan...
Beep, beep, beep.
He's at the karaoke. Good evening, Alan.
No, I'm not at the karaoke. I'm having a night in.
Well, why are you listening to backing tracks in the background then?
Sorry, I was on YouTube.
What were you doing on YouTube?
Watching classic Coronation Street.
Watching classic Coronation Street. Which one were you watching? What was going on? Was it Deirdre Rashid?
No, The Farewell of Hilda Ogden.
Farewell. Oh, Hilda Ogden. I remember. Yeah. Who was
Christmas Day, 1987.
Who was the fat lad, the bin man? Eddie Yates. Eddie Yates. And he met his girlfriend on a CB, didn't he?
Yeah.
They hooked up for a 69er.
Well, I don't know much about CB.
I think that's the language they use. Yeah, 69er. And they both, I remember it really well. Because CBs were so exciting. They were the communication way of the future. And both Eddie Yates and his girlfriend, his potential girlfriend, they both lied about what they looked like.
Yeah, he lived at Mike Baldwin's flat.
Oh, yeah. And then they fell in love, didn't they?
Yeah, and they got married.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I miss Stan.
I do miss Stan, but then he went on and became Hyacinth Bouquet's brother.
Onslow.
Onslow, that's it. Now, there's an unfunny programme. If ever there was a programme that was complete and utter pony, it was... Alan, I've got to do a little bit of technical stuff. Can you sing for about 30 seconds?
What do you want me to sing?
Anything you fancy, buddy. I just need 30 seconds worth so I can move the camera for the periscope.
Sing if you're glad to be gay. Sing if you're happy that way. Hi. Sing if you're glad to be gay. Sing if you're happy this way.
Keep going.
It's the weekend again. Lots of fun. Why not listen to Radio 1?
What?
Radio Show Pony, you cannot be sure. Buildings have come in, why not be more? Radio 2 has not got any better. This time I wrote for a letter.
What are you? Sorry, I only had a bit of that because I didn't have my headphones on. Were you encouraging...
I command that I'm glad to be gay.
Yeah, well, first of all, glad to be gay. It takes a tough man to change the lyrics of that. But you were suggesting people listen to Radio 1.
No, I was saying how bad Radio 1 was.
Well, the only bit I heard was, why don't you listen to Radio 1?
No, why do they listen to Radio 1?
I'm drinking a Coca-Cola.
Are the soft drinks available?
Yeah, but that's the best one, let's be honest. Let's be honest.
Especially when we're going to be Murdoch soon.
I don't think he does a cola, does he? But if he does, I bet it's delicious. And completely trustworthy.
What the Australian equivalent of it is?
It'll be Dingo Cola? Cockadilly Dingo. Cola? You want a cockadilly? Chowing down on a cockadilly cola with the Sheilas. Probably.
Or
I'm imagining...
Wichy-grab?
What?
Or Wichy-grab?
I'm having a Wichy-grab burger with my cockadilly cola. I bet Australian Coke is called cockadilly. I've just got... I don't know, because when I was in Australia, I didn't drink any Coke. But I've got a feeling it's called cockadilly.
It's sponsored by Sky as well.
Sponsored by Spon?
No, Sky.
Sponsored by Sky. Yeah. Your phone, Alan, is breaking up and then coming back and then breaking up and then coming back.
Can you hear me now? Because I'm on an adjustable chair.
Guess who has been in the... Guess who has had a top 40 hit today?
Was it you?
Yes, mate. It was.
What number?
Well, let's just say that earlier on today... I was at the dizzy heights of number 33 on the iTunes dance chart.
Oh, brilliant!
Yeah! I tell you what, I'm going to go into iTunes now, and we're going to see how... Because we were at 33 earlier on, let's see how much higher we've climbed up the chart. This is genuine. We were number 33 in the iTunes... Someone tweeted it. Oh, Ian, you're 33 in the iTunes dance chart. And I went, oh, a load of old rubbish. I'll have a look. I was number 33 on the iTunes dance chart with Nigel and Barry and Daniel, of course. I don't really know my way around iTunes because I don't really use Hot Songs. We're not in the... Are we in the Hot Songs? We probably should be.
Top Songs.
Hot Songs, Top Songs. Some as big as your head. How do I get to the charts? Where are the charts?
I've got Top Albums.
No. I want the charts. This is why you need the chart show, isn't it? New music, singles. Try singles. No. How do we do chart? It's got to be top albums, top music videos, top concert films.
Well, 33 at the moment is Calvin Harris and Rihanna.
What? Is that the
number 33 at the moment.
Is that, now, in fairness, is that the dance chart?
If this is the top songs.
I don't want top songs. Let's go dance. I'm going to dance. Okay, I'm just on the dance page now. Hot tracks. Just give me a chart. Why? Flipping it. What night is it? It's Friday. Oh, we missed Top of the Pops. That was yesterday, wasn't it? Right, okay.
I've got the chart in front of me, Ian.
You got what?
You're number 35.
We're what?
Number 35.
No, have a look again, because we were number 33 earlier.
No, you've gone down two places.
Flipping it, that's... Well, that's not me for six. That we've got, so 35. We've gone down
two.
Right, who do I bribe? Where's I want to get a bit of payola off of Steve Jobs. Who do I bribe? I need to send I was going to say we need to send Rent Boys, but it's not BBC Radio 1 in the 70s, is it? We need to send something like a juice bar or something. We need to send a juice bar. I don't know what that is. I'm panicking, Alan, because my pop career is collapsing around me. 35.
Send an appeal on Periscope. Get people to buy it.
Yeah, that's it, guys. If you go to iTunes and type in Ian, IAINLEE, forget the podcasts. They're pony. That's yesterday's stuff.
Old news.
Forget the podcast. Unsubscribe to that because I'm probably not going to do any more after today. In fact, I'm not even going to do one today. No more podcasts. They're finished, Alan. I really want to concentrate on my music, Alan, because I think that is the best way I've got of expressing myself. So forget unsubscribe from the podcast. And please, guys, you've just got to download...
Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan is really flying high. The other two, Titty Man and Miley Stiley, they're not doing so well. I'm cool with that. You've got to download it, guys. And can I just say, literally... no pennies from the sale of this song will go to charity. Literally not 1% of it will go. None of it. It's all going to go in my pocket. OK, so orphan kiddies, cancer, dolphins, all that stuff. None of them are going to benefit from it financially, but they will benefit from it making the world a little bit of a better place. There's just a bit more of a vibe in the atmosphere today, isn't there, Alan?
Definitely.
Well, thanks so much for your time.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
So much in our universe just cannot be explained, but just cannot be ignored. Events and phenomena, past and present, defy so-called rational explanation. How much do we really know, and how much are we allowed to know? Now, week by week, a new publication examines new evidence and explores the theories. The Unexplained at Newsagents now.
We're now sponsored by The Unexplained. Mm. I've got another issue here, got a volume 3. We'll have a look at that later on.
Can I have a sniff? You're gonna sniff it all out.
It's funny. Oh, that sounds so good. The cover smells of leather.
What's that?
That's what happened to Francis Rossi's septum. But the pages smell of boot polish. Open it up and it smells of boot polish.
It's a little bit like ash.
You know I've got a sealed copy of the Monkees' last album from their initial run. It's called Changes. It's not very good. It's just Mickey and Davey.
Yeah.
It's not very good, but I've got a soft spot for it. I've got a lot of affection for it. I think it's a nice little album. So hardly any copies. I have a sealed copy from 1970. Never been opened. It's worth quite a bit of cashish. Big hash prizes, as my friend Mackenzie used to joke. Big hash prizes. And one day, when I'm feeling really bored, or I'm dying, I'm going to slice open that album and just...
breathe in the 70s.
Suck up 1970! Whoa, I'm going to suck it up! Whoa, yeah! Going to suck up that year! Whoa! It'll be like it's the hippie equivalent of laughing gas canisters. Mm. You see those laughing gas canisters? Nitrous oxide?
Yeah.
Everywhere. It turns
Do you know where
out,
I saw some? You're not going to believe this.
In your youngest bedroom?
No.
Wow. Go
She's
on.
Hidden them very well. Waitrose car park.
Yeah. Oh,
Waitrose.
No, I can believe that. Well, you know I live in quite a posh area.
Yeah.
Well, quite often, on a Sunday morning, they'll be all out just around the corner from my house, in my street. There'll be like half a dozen of them.
They're laughing their heads off.
Here's the thing, guys. Listen, if you want to get high, get high. As Afro Man says, because I got high.
Although,
smack!
We're not condoning drug use.
No, not at all. But if you're going to do it, tidy up after you. Mm. Tidy up after you, guys.
There's one thing that's almost as bad as drug use,
yep.
And that is littering.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, I think drug use should be legal, but littering should be punishable by death. So, either way, these guys are going to get it.
Yeah.
0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. We call you back, guys. That happens. What have I written down there? As I wrote it, I thought, my writing's really rubbish, and I'm never going to be able to read that. I've written dance...
chart?
Oh, yeah, it was in the dance chart.
Yeah?
That was it. Yeah. Well, I've done the three things I was going to talk about. I've talked about the cabbie, the 5.5 hours.
Did you want to talk about
the car?
Do you want to explain?
No, later on. That
look
comes...
at that one! An evil in the earth.
Yeah, exactly. No, this stuff is serious. It is to be sniffed at because it smells so darn delicious.
Mm.
But it isn't really to be sniffed at.
No.
0844 499 1000. A lot of old people having a lot of old sex.
Oh.
It leaves a bad taste in my mouth. Thanks very much indeed for that.
Are you going to fill us in?
Well, I don't need to, because Barbara Taylor Bradford is getting filled in by her 83-year-old husband. That is disgusting. Why is sex and old people taboo? I'm 83 and we still have a love life, just not as frequently now.
Mm.
The phone clatters to the table as Barbara Taylor Bradford... Now, she...
whips her bra off.
No, don't.
What?
She is one of those writers, isn't she, that I've heard so much about?
Yes.
She is a romance novelist, like American Barbara Cartland?
I think she might be that genre, yes.
Is she Barbara Cartland? I can't say Barbara. Barbara Cartland. I can't say it, and that's fine. And that's Barbara Cartland. No. Is she Barbara Cartland or is she Jackie Collins? He pushed me on the bed, and even though I was hesitant, he whipped off my knickers and he dove straight in.
I read, well, I tried to read some Jackie Collins once. She did Riders, right?
No, that's Jilly Cooper.
Oh, right. I tried to go at that. I found that very dull.
Jackie Collins' books had titles like Bitches.
Oh, The Stud.
The Stud and The Bitches. And the Hollywood Tarts and stuff like that. She
All right.
writes books like
they
that.
They sound good.
They do sound good. Going back to Jilly Cooper's Riders, has there been a sexier book cover than the original cover for Riders? They redid it recently and it was a different picture. Mm. It was a deliciously, and this isn't sexist of me saying it, because it may have been a man, we don't know.
No, it was definitely a woman, because it was a proper 80s pear-shaped bottom.
It was a nice bum, and it was in
being
jodhpurs.
Cupped.
It was in jodhpurs, and it was being cupped. Now, I think they redid...
And his hand was dangerously close to the centre ground.
I think they redid the cover, Jilly Cooper Riders, and they made the cover less erotic. There it is. I mean, his fingers virtually... he's going to have to wash that.
He's going to press a reset button if he's not
careful. Yeah, yeah.
Should be speaking Spanish.
So that's... Oh, no, there's just lots of pictures of hot women in jodhpurs now. Mm. Did you just drop one?
No.
It sounded like it.
I didn't. I went, mm.
Anyway, has there been a sexier book cover than Jilly Cooper's Riders? I don't think there has. Not a lot of attention is given to book covers. Sometimes, you like classics, like Vonnegut and stuff, they'll bring them all out with new covers. Oh, dear. Oh, you're so tedious. But I can't think of any other book that's actually given me a semi.
Oh, God.
Just by the cover alone. Apart from Jilly Cooper's Riders. Mm. But the thing is, I always imagine that the face at the top of that bottom is Jilly Cooper. Going, get your head off my bum. I'll get your head off my bum.
I think she'd be jolly good fun.
Is she still alive?
Yeah, and okay. I have a card from her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Has it got a picture of her bum on it?
No.
Oh.
Sadly not. It was the first card and last card she ever sent me.
What did she send you a card for?
Well, because
if you've ever had a card, by the way, either birthday, get well soon, or postcard from a famous person, 0844 499 1000, we call you back. Remind me to tell you about when Ned Sheeran sent me a card.
This is what a delightful woman she is.
Yeah.
Right? I interviewed her a long time ago. I used to have my own show.
Wow.
Yeah,
but it was only on BBC Local Radio, and as we know, that doesn't count.
And I was cheap, so they gave me a lot of work to do and didn't pay me really what I was worth. So that was when I used to have my own show, and I once interviewed her about the art of the love letter and how it was dying out.
And she wrote you a love card?
She wrote me a letter to keep the tradition going.
And have you got that letter?
Yeah.
When she dies, That lecture could be worth some money.
Agreed. And it was a nice one as well. So, it wasn't like one out of her stash. She'd actually thought about it.
So I'm when she does die, I'm going to make sure the police have your details to inquire within about the possibility of you being a murderer.
Right.
What's that film?
I'd be banged to rights, wouldn't I? Banged to rights.
That never really took off, did it? That, what? Predicting crimes and arresting people predicting crimes. Like Minority
what,
Report.
You mean the, oh, right.
That was the movie.
I thought that was called The 60s. That's what they used to do.
What do you mean?
Well, I...
08444991000,
I've done extensive research into a number of very famous cases.
Groovy, baby! No one does that anymore.
You do.
Groovy, baby!
That's the second Austin Powers impression you've done.
Shagadelic.
This week.
Yeah, baby. Groovy, baby. We should go... someone should host a fancy dress party and I could go as Mike Myers, Austin Powers.
Yeah.
And I'd get some false teeth or something and a wig and I'd go...
No need.
I'd go, groovy, baby! Shagadelic.
Well, my sister's got the Felicity Shagwell outfit so I could borrow it.
Groovy, baby! Yeah, baby. He says that, doesn't he? He goes, yeah, baby.
Strangely, you say it in a more creepy way.
Yeah, baby. Shagadelic. What else does he say? I don't really remember the films. I remember the bit where Will Ferrell falls off a cliff and he doesn't die. Mm. But that's the only bit I remember.
I'm just badly hurt.
Yeah, babe.
That's all he says. Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby. Shagadelic, baby. It's groovy, baby. Want to play with my guitar, baby? Yeah, baby. I can do that.
I wouldn't.
It's funny, because you would have thought that he would have been really popular for fancy dresses. I don't think I've ever seen anyone doing an Austin Powers. I don't think I've ever seen... Maybe for, like, it would be good... Here's an idea, guys. If you've got, like, a stag weekend coming up or something, you could all go as Austin Powers, the shirts and stuff. Yeah, babe! Imagine, like, 15 Austin Powers in the bar.
Powers is.
Yeah, baby! We'll get some lagers in, baby. Shagadelic, baby. I honestly, this is my tip for you guys. I reckon you would get so much honey out of that. I really do. A lot of action. Yeah, baby. Just say that groovy. All the time.
It's making my ovaries shrivel again.
And also, I can imagine as well, being in a pub, right, it's a bit boring. And then suddenly... 15 Austin Powers walk in. How could you not love that? And they're there, and you'd be like, oh, look at that. And they're going, yeah, baby, shagging. And you go, what? Oh, that's fun, that is. I wish I was. And I'd go and talk to them, and I'd spend a bit of my evening with them. So I think, I don't know why no one's ever picked up on this as doing it as a fancy dress thing. Do it, guys. Have it. I'll do the show next week. Yeah, baby, shagadelic. I know the films are a bit old and a bit passé and you know, perhaps a little bit dated, but shagadelic, baby. Yeah, baby. Gonna get a time machine, baby, and go back to the 60s and shag.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's really...
Well, we haven't got time for your letter.
Late Night Ian Lee. Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844... 499-1000. We will come back to your sex letters in a minute.
What?
But before that, it's Mr. Dredge. Good evening, Mr. Dredge.
Good evening. There are 14 points I'd like to make this evening.
Yeah, baby!
Oh.
You go for it! Shagadelic, Mr. Dredge!
I'd like to remind people coming to your performance ring that I will be pushing a wheelbarrow across the stage.
This is the fruitcake that's gonna. His act involves pushing a wheelbarrow across the stage.
Did you say that was a good idea?
I did because I want he said me an email.
Did you offer to get in the wheelbarrow?
No, he sent me saying I'd like to push a wheelbarrow across the stage. Mm. I went, yeah, you're in.
Is he wearing Wellington?
I don't know, and I don't want to know I don't want to know anything about it. I'm going to be charmed. It's the act I'm most looking forward to on the evening.
Is it going
to
be music?
I don't know. I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care.
I just wish you'd run these things.
Yeah, baby. Is it shagadelic, Mr. Dredge?
I just like to say that I will be hanging around afterwards if anyone wants anything signed or if anyone wants a picture.
Yeah, baby.
Can I have a ride in your wheelbarrow?
That's not part of the remit.
Wowzers.
You're not covered for that by insurance.
He sent me his... speaking of riders, he sent me his rider. Hang on a minute, I've got an email here. Where is it? Mr. Dredge. Well, hang on. You've sent your email's confusing. Oh, 844-499-1000, by the way. Your email's confusing, Mr. Dredge. It says, it starts off, I will be sending you my rider requirements shortly.
Yes.
Then you've then you've listed your rider requirements.
Well, it's very shortly.
Those are the ones I will be sending you shortly.
So this three I've got now, you'll be sending...
I will be sending them to you shortly.
Shall I read them out now, or should I wait until I've got them again?
Have you got them?
Well, I've got the precursor, which I believe are the same ones you're going to send me shortly.
Well, what are they?
One, a bowl of M&Ms, brackets green ones to be removed and replaced with identical replicas.
Oh. Yep, I'll be sending you that shortly.
Number two, backstage area, I'm assuming you mean of the theatre.
Of the theatre, yes.
To be
to
be festooned with purple plants and ting.
Festooned, yes, festooned.
And that's when you say
F-E-S.
Tuned.
Yep.
And when you say backstage, you mean the theatre?
The theatre, yes, that's right. The theatre, yes.
Number three, which I think you're going to send me shortly, is small tree. You okay? You crying?
I get emotional when I think about this one.
Small tree with no thorns to be provided to be placed in back pocket a la Morrissey.
I'm not sure whether I should send you that one.
Well,
I have to think very long and hard about that.
You decide whether I'm going to receive that or not shortly or not. And then we'll take it from there, I guess.
Or not.
But that's all. All of that is doable.
Well, that sounds good. That sounds good. In that case, I will be sending you them shortly.
Can I clear up one thing?
Which point are you unclear about?
The backstage area. Is that the backstage area of the theatre?
Hold on. Is that the backstage area of the theatre? Yeah, yes, it is.
Okay, excellent. That's not a problem at all. We can sort all that out, Mr. Dredge.
That's good.
Point two.
Yes.
Is?
You got 13 more of these buggers to go, Mr. Dredge.
Well, I have got a song about wheelbarrows, but I'm not sure whether I should sing it or not. I don't know.
What, tonight? Matthew,
I could sing it.
Oh, hang on a minute.
I could sing it tonight.
Hang on. How's our hunt for Matthew Kelly going? You didn't do anything.
I didn't start it.
Okay.
I think I can find him quite easily.
That's
he's in the theatre at the moment.
Yep. Doing the play. Hello?
Is he?
Yes.
Is that point two?
I don't think that's part of the remit, no.
Okay.
Let's not veer too far away from the point.
Your remit is about to be revoked. You crying?
Are you? Will you be sending me a reefication?
I will not be sending you any reefers.
Point three.
Well, I'm not. Yes. Hello.
Good evening. Mr. Dredge is on the line. Shagadelic baby.
Oh.
Good evening.
Groovy baby.
I'm not sure whether I should sing this song or I should.
I think you should sing the song.
I'm not sure.
I think you should sing the song and be done with it.
Well, maybe Dan, the producer, might be listening. He might be able to turn it into something good. I don't know.
This is what's happening now, is it?
Just because I'm number 35 in the iTunes dance chart, let me refresh.
In the hit parade.
Yep, the Hot 100. I might have gone back up again now because I've just tweeted it.
They want to hop on board your hit wagon.
Teresa, I'll tell you who's... You get off my hit wagon. Number 35, right? I'm in between... At number 34, the Chainsmokers.
Oh, they're quite good.
And beneath that... Oh, no, that's the name... Yeah. And beneath that, it's DJ Smoke featuring Bipolar Sunshine. So let's just...
A lot of smoking going on.
Let's go through the chart. So you're number 34, you never listen, you go, oh... Yeah. Then you go to 36. You jump because you're only doing the even ones. So 36. This is DJ Snake. And...
Oh yeah, this is good.
Jesus. This is rubbish.
No, no, wait till they drop the beat.
Here's the beat. I mean, we're 5 places ahead of Calvin Harris and his disciples. Listen.
Oh, that's upsetting for him, isn't
it?
Here
we go. Let me roam your body freely. No inhibition, no fear. How deep is your love? Oh, shut up.
It's a very personal question.
Hey. Are you in yet? Am I in yet? What? Let's hear your song, Mr. Dredge.
Okay, if you have any additional lyrical ideas at the end, by all means, give it a go.
This is outrageous. Let's have to see if the vibe is strong or not. Let's see. Go.
I'm a wheelbarrow man. I'm a wheelbarrow fan. Where I'm from, can you guess? I'm from Barrow-in-Furness. I'm a wheelbarrow man with a wheelbarrow plan. It was left me by my gran. I oppose a barrow ban. If you're ever in a jam, call for me, I'm the wheelbarrow man. I'm aware that didn't rhyme, then again it didn't scan. But I'm doing what I can, I am friends with
you. Okie dokie. Listen, guys, I think what Mr. Dredge has proved there is writing a song that reaches the dizzy heights of number 33 in the iTunes dance chart isn't actually as easy as it sounds. It's actually quite a skilled thing. So that's good that he sang that, because it shows people that I'm dead clever and stuff. 0844 499 1000.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. So Jilly Cooper wrote you a letter. Yeah. Turn that on, thank you.
Yes, she did.
Yes, go on.
And I have it. No, that wasn't the point I was going to. Do you want me to go to my second point?
Please do.
When you said about... I was just talking about the coppers in the 1960s and the 1950s.
They're all bent.
Well,
they're all bent.
They weren't all bent, but there was a certain way of doing things in those times.
Well, you were allowed to beat up black men and homosexuals. Now
there weren't that many of them, were there, back then?
Exactly. Now it's frowned upon. Rightfully so.
No, but I remember doing an investigation into... Do you remember the story of James Hanratty? He was...
Wasn't he the fella that was the original Mr. Blobby?
No.
He was not the original Mr. Blobby. He was either Stig.
No, he was the last man to be hanged at Bedford Prison.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was well hanged, wasn't he?
Anyway, yeah, doing the investigation into that.
Oh, right.
And...
Because it's BBC, so it's a bit worthy.
This was before the BBC, this was my journalism qualification.
Oh, you were a bum lick even then?
Yeah.
Wow.
Passed an exam and everything.
All right,
but yeah, talking to people, and they said, you know, that the method was often that you would, find someone who probably did it, who might have done it. Let him have it!
Let him have it!
It's one less.
Now, when someone shouts, let him have it...
The bag he meant, didn't they? The money.
No, he didn't. He meant shoot him. Mm. No one goes, right, so you've got something that you could give to somebody else... Or it could be used to kill somebody else, right? You don't say, if you want them to give it to someone else, you go, give that to him and don't kill him. Don't
go, him.
Let him have it! What, I'm going to kill him? Boom, 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 boom. It doesn't make sense.
Actually, let him have it is never anything else than that, is it?
We've got to make a phone call.
Oh.
Sorry, Periscopers, you guys are going to lose out.
You're just going to have to wonder.
Wonder.
What we look like while we're doing this next bit.
Why?
Earring it up.
Wah, she went away, then I... Oh, no, I haven't got it.
What?
Hang on a minute. I haven't got it. DM me.
Oh.
Someone wants to come on the show. But,
Is it someone good?
Yay! Oh, yeah,
or is it another time waster?
No, shut up, man. It's someone blinded. We'll do it in a second. In the meantime, we'll take this guy live in Cyprus. Good evening, David.
Ah.
Kalispera, Ian.
Ah! Kalispera, Tiganis.
Polikala, I suppose.
Ah, Polikala, Polikala!
Isn't it Kali Nikta by now?
Kali Spera, Kali Spera.
It's evening into night.
It's normally like a good night.
Yeah, you can say it any time you want.
Yeah.
So, actually, Kath, you can stick that right up your schnozzle.
Θέλω να αλλάξω 100 λίρες, παρακαλώ.
Hey! All righty. We're not going to have any of that language.
Yeah, you are.
No, by that language, I mean Greek.
Oh.
What you got for us, David?
Not a right lot, to be honest. I've been meaning to call him for ages, but because of the time difference, I've never really got around to it.
Hang on, what is the time difference?
Of an hour? Two
hours, isn't it?
Two hours, yeah, which means it's I don't know, what time is it? It's about 20 to 1 here now, I think.
Wow.
And what's happening in the future, David?
Not much. It's quite warm. It's pretty quiet, but it's quite warm.
Come home, David.
No,
come home. We miss you. The country needs you, David. I'm activating the David recall button.
No, I don't think so. I've been gone 10 years now. I don't think you really need me back.
Okay, well, that's cold. That's cold.
Selfish of him as well.
Do you listen to this rubbish, obviously. Do you listen to any other, like, speech radio?
I don't listen to this live normally. In fact, I'm not listening to it live now. I normally download it, obviously, because of the time difference and the fact that I have to get up for work at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Who are your favourite kind of speech radio presenters?
Well, you, obviously.
Yeah.
Danny Baker.
Yeah.
But, I mean, apart from some other American podcasts that I listen
to,
that's it, really,
cold,
yeah.
Cold. Okay. All right. Fine.
Why is that cold?
But, well, just, you know...
He's already made his mind up about you, David.
What? Were you a fan of...
Hello.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
Ian.
James?
Yeah.
Is that James Whale?
Well, if it isn't, it's a very good impersonation of him.
Blimey.
Hello, James. How you doing? You all right?
I'm very good. Very good. How are you?
I'm very, very well. You sound so... You answered that phone bloody quickly.
Well, that's because you just tweeted me and said, could you give me a ring?
Well, no, hang on.
Not that I want to spoil the illusion of radio, because I take it, judging by the way you're talking to me, we're on the air.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course we're on the air. No, I didn't say, no, someone said you should call up, and then you replied in your very brusque manner, he's got my number. Which I didn't have your number, but now I do have your number, and you're never going to agree. How you doing, man? You all right?
I'm very good. Yes, I've just got out of the bath. If that's good for you to have that in your mind,
I've
wrapped myself in my large, fluffy dressing gown and thinking about my radio show tomorrow morning.
Now, listen, people think, right, because we're in radio and because I'm here and all radio presenters know each other and there's like this secret network. We've only met twice, very briefly. One was at a radio do where we said hello. And one was a few weeks ago on the Saturday show on Channel 5 after you got kicked out of the Big Brother house.
That's correct.
And I have to say, you were delightful and charming and very polite to me on both occasions. Yeah. And I'm a radio geek, James, so I'm a proper big fan of yours. So that it was always a thrill to meet you.
Well, I think you've obviously forgotten, because I am easily forgotten, I suppose, that we used to speak quite regularly at one point.
Well, you used to phone up my show on LBC and talk about doing a white wee-wee.
What?
He did. He phoned up as a prank call and was talking about, I can't remember, but the payoff was he'd done a white wee-wee.
Yeah,
gee,
no, I remember you were talking about something and I thought I was driving, I was driving in to do the programme you're doing now on Talk, and you were talking rubbish, so I decided I would phone in and pretend to be a gynaecologist. That's right, yes.
That was it. And then I think we might have, I don't know if it was your show or maybe it was Mendozov's, but we spoke to Ash a couple of times, I think, as well, on the air. How are you doing, man? How's it going? When are you coming home? Come home, come on, we want you here. Come home, James. Come. Yeah, we can get rid of Julia Hartley Brewer. You can do her slot.
He said, laughing. Anyway, changing the subject. I think I'm due to go back in the Big Brother house because they didn't think I was good enough the last time, and they want me to go back in again.
No, you said to me off camera, it was the worst effing thing you'd ever done. Is that true?
The day I spoke to you was the day after I had come out, and you have to, you know, when you come out, everybody that comes out, and I'd been in there for 3 weeks, and from the word go,
yeah,
I had tried to get myself out, and to get myself out, I had to be obnoxious to everybody in there so they would nominate me. And then, I'd, unbeknown to me, Mrs. W was running a campaign to keep me in, yeah, along with Eamon Holmes,
yeah,
and I couldn't... It was. Have you ever been trapped? It's like being trapped. I couldn't get out. And it's not like being in prison, not that I've been in prison, but in prison you get three meals a day.
Yeah.
You get to watch the TV. There's a gymnasium. You've got the radio. In the Big Brother house, you ain't got nothing. So when you come out, the first thing they do is they send you to a psychiatrist. I kid you not.
Wow.
Kid you not. And I went to a psychiatrist. All I wanted to do was go home. He said, you can't go home. You've got to go in a bit on the side. Then you've got to go to a hotel. And then in the morning, you've got to go and do the Saturday show.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbeknown to me, you were doing it. That was lucky because that other... Anyway, what's his name?
It was very nice to see you there. It was very, it was, I was really, really
it was
pleased.
Radio show I phoned up and pretended to be somebody else on the other day as well. I've got to stop doing
You've
that.
You've got to stop prank yeah. calling, James. It's a dying art, though. More people should do it.
Yeah.
More people should do it.
Yeah, I was on Tony... Well, I'm about Tony Blackburn, poor Tony Blackburn. But anyway, yeah, so that's... So the time you asked me... On reflection,
here we go.
It's an interesting thing to do. It's a bit like retreat. You find out things about yourself you never knew.
How much did you get paid for it?
A lot.
50,000?
I'm not going to tell you how much I got paid for
more
it.
More or less than £50,000?
I'm not going to tell you whether it's more or less than 55...
80,000.
Would you do it for £50,000?
No, I had a price... Because I went and had the meeting, right, and I've been asked to do it a couple of times, and I have a price in my head.
Yeah, tell me the price and I'll tell you if you'll get it.
£80,000?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
If I could get you that amount of money,
yeah,
right, what would my percentage be?
Sorry?
20%?
Whoa!
25?
No, technically 0%, James.
All right, okay. Just asking.
I might let you fill in for me for the 3 weeks I'm in. Thing is, if you get voted out straight away, you get the same money though, don't you? That's the thing.
If you get voted out, you get the money.
Yeah.
If you walk, or if you're sacked, and you can be sacked,
yeah,
you get nothing.
Wow.
Or you get a percentage of whatever you've been.
Right.
But I tell you this. Christopher Biggins told me, and he'd been in the jungle, so had Samantha Fox, and they said it was more difficult. It was easier to be in the jungle and eat bugs.
Really?
Than it was in the house, yeah.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? They've asked me to do the jungle 3 times, and I've got it. The fact they've asked me is brilliant, and I've got that just in case everything goes pear-shaped. And if I've not worked for a year, then I'll cash those chips in. I've got no qualms.
Yeah. They won't ask you again, though. I don't want to upset you, but if they asked you and you said no, they won't ask you.
Oh, well. These things happen.
So, you know, you forget that now, right?
Yeah.
Forget that. Concentrate on the new thing for you, Celebrity MasterChef. And when you've done Celebrity MasterChef, remember the Bake Off is in need of a new host.
Yeah.
Maybe you and me.
Me and you could do that, and we could get Ash could be Mary Berry, and Kath could be Paul Hollywood. You're up for that, Catherine,
Yeah, I could be evil.
I want to be, which is the blonde one?
That's Mel.
I want to be her, because I don't want to be the other one, because she's very unfunny.
No, I look a bit, if I put my glasses on, I look a bit like Sue Perkins, so we can do this.
Yeah, I think we could. I mean, we could, let's just try now. Let's try now. For instance, what we could do is we could say, now, are you ready? Is everybody ready? And
bake.
Look at that spunky cake.
No.
See?
Is that, that's innuendo, isn't it?
Yeah.
Innuendo?
Yesterday, and I was watching it yesterday, and Mrs. W and I were watching it with our mouths open.
Gosh.
When I think it was, I don't know if it was Paul or Mary who asked one of the bakers, are you a tosser?
Oh.
I couldn't believe it.
Did you hear last week, the one with the lipstick said, can you come and hold my jugs?
Oh, dear.
Yeah. In fact, yes, and there was another innuendo last week as well. How thick is yours?
Oh, gosh.
It really is. I mean, the thing is, if I went on there, I think they'd toss me off quite quickly.
Mm.
James, listen, when you've finished, you know, messing around, I've done the stuff with the BBC. It's fun. It's nice to have the BBC fob, but, you know, there's a space here for you at home, James.
Thank you. Did you keep yours, by the way?
Yes, I did. I've got it in my car.
Yeah, you see. see, I've got the little one from that radio station you worked on that's moved as well. I've got a whole collection of fobs from radio stations I've worked in.
Well, listen, when you do come back here, I keep saying it. It's got to happen. We can go and break into all those stations late at night and wreak revenge.
Yeah, I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll tell you, listen, I will ring you next week on your number that I have, and if I haven't, you ring me. Yep. And I will, because, you know, you make so much more money than I've ever made.
Of course.
I will let you take me out for lunch. By the way...
Uh-oh.
How much did the Saturday show pay you?
James, nice to talk to you. We'll speak soon. Have a lovely weekend, mate. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
That was nice, wasn't it, David?
It was nice, yeah. Do you know, I've spoken to you before.
Oh, really?
Briefly.
Was it when James Whale was on?
Three counties.
Uh-oh. David, we'll continue this story in a second. We've got to go to a break. Little bit of whale there. Little bit of whale baiting. 0844 499 1000. No, is that the right number?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. David, you'll be next. Then it's Nigel. Then it could be you, dear listener.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
We are Talk.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
Talk Radio.
I just had that feeling when I gave out the phone number that I'd said it so quickly and so instinctively that I thought I'd given out my own personal phone number, which is no great loss. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. You can give us a call about pretty much anything you want. I'm Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Yeah. I used pink bathrobe. A rare mint snow globe, a Smurf TV tray I bought on eBay. My house is filled with this crap. Shows up in bubble wrap most every day. What I bought on eBay. Tell me why
I need another pet rock.
Tell me why
I got that Alpha alarm clock. Tell me why
I bid on Shatner's old toupee. They had it on eBay. I buy your knick-knack, just check.
Is liable to snipe you with 2 seconds left to go. Whoa, got PayPal or Visa, whatever will please ya, as long as I've got the dough. I'll buy your tchotchkes, sell me your watch, please. I'll buy your tchotchkes, sell me your watch, please. I'll buy. 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 I'
Well, you see,
what I bought on eBay.
We'll play. We'll play the Weird Al interview next week. I think he's a genius. I think he's an absolute flipping genius. Like, it's properly clever, that stuff. Every line he says in the interview, he says he doesn't want to waste a syllable within a song. And every line in those songs is a brilliant gag. A brilliant gag. David, did we get to the point of your call? I can't remember.
I didn't really have one, to be honest.
Oh,
I just mentioned before that I spoke to you briefly on Three Counties.
Oh, yes.
So, yes, I was your podcast-only listener.
Yes. I don't remember. Here's the thing, right, and please don't anyone take this personally. I don't remember. Most times, when I do my live shows and stuff, and it's always nice, oh, if I'm doing a live show, I always stick around and talk to people, and if they want pictures and stuff like that, I'm always happy to. I love it. But I get loads of people come up to me and go, well, I used to call you on such and such, and do you remember I called in and did... most of the time, and this is no disrespect to anyone, I don't remember. I don't really remember what was on the show yesterday.
Well, I'm quite glad about that, because I was pretty awful when I called in, so I'm glad you don't remember.
Well, in that... Oh, I remember you. You were rubbish Dave, weren't you? I remember. How could I forget that? That was the lowest point in my career.
Really?
No, oh, I don't... No, don't worry. I wouldn't worry about it. I've had plenty of lows, and there are more still to come.
No, you and me are about the same age, I think, 43.
Yes, that's right. We're old, yes.
Well, I once called in a talk radio station when I was nothing but a teenager, about 14, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
There was a talk show host on, I think it was Red Rose Radio in Lancashire, a guy called Alan Bezick.
Oh, I know the name Alan Bezick. I've not heard him, but that name pops up in conversation from time to time, yeah.
Right, so you don't know what he's doing now, then, if he's retired, if he's alive or dead.
I don't know.
Like
I don't know. We can put it out there. Someone listening will know, Dave, because he's... I've heard the name mentioned, so I'm aware of him. 0844 499 1000, if you know where Alan Bezick is now.
So I suppose you could say I've been listening to talk radio for nearly 30 years.
God, you must be tired. David, it's nice to talk to you. Enjoy Cyprus. Enjoy the warm evenings. Nigel!
Hello, James. Hello, Ian.
Oh, I should have put you on to talk to James Whale.
I've corpsed it now. You've corpsed it.
You've corpsed it. I don't think
But I didn't
know
mean
what...
to say that. I meant to say Ian, but I said James because I was thinking about James.
I don't think you know what corpsed it means. Do you?
Anyway.
Do you know what corpsed... Do you know...
Yeah.
What corpsed it means?
No, corpse, I meant. Not corpse, it corpse.
Well, but do you know what it means?
No.
Well, why did you say it?
No, yes, I do know what it means.
Well,
it means you come out with the wrong word.
No.
It doesn't it?
Nope.
Oh. Hi, James, if you're listening.
He's
lovely
not.
To hear from you outside the Big Brother.
Yeah.
Hope you had a nice bath.
Corpsing is that annoying thing where people generally pretend to laugh when they're doing a script of it. Peter Cook and Dudley Moore would always do it, and I think they would.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know what you mean now. Yes, that's true.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very true.
Nigel, we've got a hit on our hands.
I was going to say, we're 33 in the dance chart.
No, we're not.
Amazing?
No, we're not. I've got some bad news. We've dropped down to 35 in the dance charts.
Well, it's still good.
Well, 35 is not as good as 33.
No, but it's better than nothing.
But I think you have to sell a million copies to get in the top 40.
Right.
So we've sold at least a million copies.
Already? A million already?
Listen, if we go down the chart, right? So 32, we've got this. Hang on. Calvin Harris.
Yeah.
At 33, it's Avicii.
Yes. Do you still
be... At 34, it's the Chainsmokers. At 35,
it's us.
Genuinely, genuinely, we are number 35 in the iTunes dance chart.
Very good. It's nuts. Yeah. Did you say it might have...
I can't hear you, Nigel. The music's too loud.
Yeah.
Can you speak up?
Yes,
Nigel!
Yes,
Nigel!
Yes.
Can you speak up a bit? No, Nigel, could you speak up a bit? The music's too loud.
Yeah, I can't because of the neighbours.
Ah! What? Nigel, could you speak up a bit? The music's a bit too loud.
Yeah, hello, hello, Ian. How are you?
Number 35 in the iTunes dance chart is us. Quitting, guys.
Did you say it might have sold 2 million
I'm so... I'm so excited, I went and did a dump on my boss's desk today. Now, admittedly, Denny wasn't in. He'd left
but
for the weekend.
But Dan called me up earlier this evening.
Yeah. Well, don't...
told me the good news.
Yeah, well, I'm talking now, so you can button it. I did a dump on Denny Morris's desk, right?
Yeah.
So when he comes in Monday morning, we'll get the figures at the weekend. We'll get the figures at the weekend, how much money we made. When he comes in on Monday, I'll go, who's done a poo on my desk? I'm going to find out I'm going to fire them. And the only way to find out is either the taste test or he'll do a DNA test, right? He'll get the DNA results in, he'll find out it's me, and he'll phone me up. Did you do a poo? Did you do a poo on my desk? And
disgusting,
I go, yeah,
that is, Ian.
Yeah,
disgusting.
I'll go, yeah, I did. I don't care, because I've sold over 2 million copies of my hit single, and you can stick your poxy radio station right up your jacksie. And then we go on tour.
Really? Where to?
We'll play, I don't know, what do you want to play, the O2?
London Palladium.
London Palladium, sure, two nights at the London Palladium, why not?
Fantastic. I've got some other good news. Kylie Minogue videoed me tonight on Skype. After I told you the good news about the charts.
Oh, my God.
She did, yes, and I couldn't get her because I couldn't get a signal. Yeah. I couldn't get a signal on the message anyway. So
Just run that past me again. Sorry, you were talking to Kylie Minogue on Skype.
No, she videoed, she Skyped me. It said,
can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
And this is, blokes, we're blokes, right? I've done stuff with blokes. Did she video you masturbating?
No, she couldn't see me because I can't get a signal. There was just a message underneath my on my laptop just saying, Kylie Minogue, go on to Skype. Kylie Minogue wants to talk to you, you know, that thing.
Why would Kylie Minogue want to talk to you,
Nigel?
Well, I
suppose she wanted to congratulate me on being in the charts, what I said, 33 at the time.
So, because we were at number 33 in the iTunes dance chart, you think Kylie Minogue got in touch with you to congratulate you?
This is what I saw. It said, log into Skype, Kylie Minogue. Log into Skype, Kylie Minogue. No, obviously, I tried it, but I can't get a signal in your audience at the moment. So, never mind. I gave her my phone number. Maybe she'll call me. I don't know.
Let me just say, Nigel, because I do feel protective of you, don't give her any of your bank details or credit cards or anything, will you?
No.
And please, for God's sakes, don't let her film you masturbating, because I don't want our pop career to end because of a sex scandal that doesn't involve me. All right? If there's a sex scandal, I want to be in it.
Anyway, she might be doing the same thing the other side.
She could be, I bet she probably is, actually, yeah.
She might be thinking about me, looking at my own bodybuilding films.
I bet she is, actually.
Masturbating at my
Okay, Nigel. Well, that's great. Thanks for calling.
Yes.
Yeah. 0844-499-1000 is the telephone number.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
You want to hear a geezer, the definition of geezer. I heard this on the news yesterday, and it was like, flipping heck, this man's a player. I saw Philippines president, the president of the Philippines, kill a man with an Uzi. That was the worst gun noise ever. Dom?
Yeah, mate.
What's your gun noise? Right, what's your machine gun noise?
Machine gun.
Hey, that's not bad. Hang on a minute. Tris? Tris?
Yes, mate.
What's your machine gun noise? All right, mate, let me do my... Hang on.
What are you laughing at?
That's my machine gun noise.
Oh.
All right.
All right.
Dom, do your revolver noise.
Revolver? All right, hang on.
Or a pistol.
What's the difference? Revolver, revolves, pistols. Right, okay.
Yeah. Flipping it. We got the fella off of the Police Academy movies on the line here.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
What was that? Tris, Tris, let's hear your pistol. Mine's ricocheting a bit because I'm probably in a canyon. All right. All right, Dom. Here we go. Let's put you to... Let's hear your pistol with a silencer.
There you go. What do you think?
Oh. Tris, your turn. Yeah, not bad. But you can actually spell it. It's spelled F-F-T-T-T. It's also the same for blow darts.
Oh, that's good, actually.
Yeah, it's not bad, is it? Yeah. How does... Here's a question, right? Genuine question. How do silencers get rid of the bang?
Do you want the actual answer or a funny answer?
Is the funny answer really funny?
No, so we've got to think of something on the spot.
Let's go for the proper answer, then.
I believe the sound is gases expanding out of the barrel.
It's a bang. The sound is a bang.
Yeah, it's gases from the explosion that happens further back.
Yeah.
And if those... But they all come out at once. They come out as a bang. But if they can be diffused via a silencer, then the sounds go left, right, up, down, instead of just forward.
So, say... I didn't understand a word you said then.
Why not?
Tris, how does a silencer stop the... Because a gun noise... I'll do it again, Dom. What's a gun noise? Right. So how does a silencer, Tris, stop it, make it silent, or make it go...
Pretty much what he just said.
What did he say? I wasn't really listening to him. I was looking at Twitter.
I didn't understand it. I think it's something about he said something about diffusing the Dom, isn't it? He something about diffusing the noises from the gases that release. But I don't really understand how three inches of metal would make a difference.
Here's the thing. Steady, here's steady.
All right,
steady. Well, I tell you, the woman that runs Ann Summers knows how 3 inches of metal can make a huge difference. Oi! Here's the thing, right? Dom, what you said doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And if that's the case, right, why don't they make all guns with silencers, right? And secondly, how come that you just screw a silencer? I've fingered a gun before, right? They don't have threads down the barrel that you can just screw a silencer in. Thirdly, why don't the army have it on tanks?
Again, funny or actual?
Well,
there ain't a funny one. It slows it down. It slows the bullet down.
What do you mean it slows it down? You're insane. Really
Wikipedia, it. I know.
Yeah, but not enough to jump out the way, surely.
No, of course not.
It slows it down.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay, but then why wouldn't... You could still put it on a tank. Because tanks are really noisy, right? It's 100 years. Here's the thing, right? That yesterday or the day before was the 100th anniversary of a tank ever being used in battle. How's about that? They were used in 1916 in World War One. Absolutely incredible, right? It was brilliant. There was a report on Radio 4 about tanks and about 100 years of tanks, right? And they were reading... extracts from the diaries of soldiers who'd served in, I don't know what battle it was, but in World War One, and about the first tanks, right? And one of the soldiers had written, the experiment with these tanks seems to be going very well, although the enemy have found a weakness in that if they can climb on board the tank, they can drop a grenade down the hole at the top and kill everybody in it. They didn't have a lid on it. And here's the thing. Okay, let's educate everybody. Dom,
yep.
You think you're so... You think you're Mr. Big Shot with your gases being combusted and all of that rubbish, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're so clever. Why are they called tanks, mate? Oh! Yeah, I just did it! I just got you, mate! I destroyed you on the radio! Why are they called tanks? Why are they called tanks, Dom? Why are they called tanks?
Do you think maybe it's because it was a top secret and when they were shipping them to the front line, they're marked as water tanks? What's he done? He's only gone and got it right.
He's not... Well, technically, he's not quite got it right, but Yeah, you're pretty close. You're close enough to be right. What are you, Dom? Are you a spy? Are you a crusher of my dreams?
No, I'm like Alan Caddick in a way. I think I have just an ability to hold trivia. I mean, here's his Coronation Street and...
Okay, all right. 1974. All right. Before they called them tanks, they were thinking of using another name.
Mm.
What was the name they were going to use? No, I noticed Trish is keeping quiet.
But yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to put my Joker card and volunteer Trish for this one, because I don't know this one.
Trish, it's your turn. Before they called them tanks, what were they going to be called?
Oh, I don't know. Just tell us, Ian.
It was something like...
Something like?
Like?
It was something like... Stolbs. Stealthy, targeted, armed land boats. It was something like that. But then they thought that would give it away as to what it was. We've got a controversy. People on Twitter are saying that silencers don't get rid of the bang. Movie and TV silences are a myth. A gun with a suppressor is still rather loud. If that's true, that's incredible. TV has lied to me.
Not for the first
time. Can you sue for that?
Well, who are you going to sue? The A-Team? Or, like spies from the... I just don't know who you're going to sue. Ghostbusters! They didn't have guns. But TV was like my parents to me, but better than my parents because it didn't hit me. So
that's quite sad, actually.
It's true, though. I grew up in the 70s. We got a wallop, and it didn't affect me. well, if silences are a myth, then God help us all. Dom, what was the point of your call, please, mate?
Well, it wasn't all that. Karaoke catch-up. Fancy one?
Oh, yeah. Trish, you don't mind just waiting there for a second, do you, Trish?
No, go for it, mate.
Good lad. All right.
Proper short one.
All right, then. Off you go.
Right, this one, about five people will know.
Yeah.
But fortunately, I think you're one of them.
Okay.
Right, so we'll do next one edition. So I want you to come on when he turns the radio on. What? There's your clue.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
I'm a truck! I'm a truck!
Say, mister, are you a truck?
Yeah, I'm a truck!
Can I have a ride?
Sure, hop in! Oh, I'm a truck! I'm a truck!
Say, mister, you act good!
Say, mister,
if I turn on the radio?
If I turn on the radio?
Go ahead.
Now the chart topper on this week's top 30 countdown. I'm a truck.
I'm a truck. Ladies and gentlemen, success.
You've got it.
Success.
You put your organ up, but you've got it.
Let's have another wild man. You're wearing wild man Fisher, Tris.
No, I'm not at all. No.
Do you want catchy pop wild man Fisher or quite hard wild man Fisher?
Let's go hard.
You want to go hard? Oh, flip. All right.
Go hard,
okay.
Or go home.
All right, fine. Okay, fine. We're going to dive straight in there. Enjoy. Hang on a second. Oh, don't play an advert. Hang on a minute. Gosh, look at that muscular oriental lad. Gosh.
Nigel.
How much is it?
Here we go. Oh, no, that's light. I don't want light. Oh, is that light? Hang on.
Larry.
Here we go. My name is Larry by Wild Man Fisher. Here we go.
My name is Larry. My name is Larry, I have a mother, her name is Mother. Hi, Mother! Hi! I love you, Mother! I always love you, Mother! My name is Larry, I have a sister, her name is Joyce. My name is Larry, I have a grandfather. His name is Grandpa. Hi, Grandpa! Remember, Grandpa, when I used to go over to the house and you wouldn't let me go into the into the kitchen with the rest of the family. Remember that, Grandpa? Oh, listen, Larry, you be a nice boy and stay away from us.
Yeah, you go. You see, Tris, you're in.
Am I missing something?
Do you want? Okay, should I do one of his pop songs?
Yeah, go on.
Before you do that, the ironic thing about that is he tried to stab his mother, and that's why he got put in hospital.
Yep. Well, this is his pop song. This is The Taster by Wild Man Fisher.
Zappa.
There we go. Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention with their new vocalist, Mr. Wildman Fisher.
Come on, let's do the taster. When my love was so great, when the things of the past were just as good as the rest. As well, I knew a girl, just the one certain girl, who taught me the taster, and it's good as the twister. Come on, let's do the taster. When my love was so great, when the things of the past were just as good as the rest. Well, I knew a boy, just the one certain boy, who goes around making things and all around tasting things. Come on, let's do the taster. When my love was so great, when the things of the past were just as good as the rest. Well, I knew a nursie, just the one certain nursie, who goes around putting things in everyone's purse. Sees, come on, let's do the taster. When my love was so great, when the things of the past were just as good as the rest.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Wildman Fisher. I had that album, and I sold it recently for £75.
Really? The first one?
Yeah. And I don't know why I sold it. I sold it to make a statement. Tris,
who is he?
Let's go to Jukebox Jewelry now. And well, Tris, that was the new one from Wildman Fisher, The Taster. What do you think, Tris? Hit or miss?
Miss.
Let's go to Dom. Dom, definite there from Tris. It's a miss. I'm trying to be David Jacobs. I'm nothing like David. David Jacobs is more like this. Dom, it's a no from Tris. What do you say, Dom?
No, I disagree completely. I think he's avant-garde. He's out there. He's Andy Kaufman. Extreme.
The story behind Wildman Fisher, Tris, very briefly, is he's a mentally ill, homeless man. Frank Zappa saw him busking and recorded an album with him.
Oh, okay. So that's not an act, then?
No! Oh, baby! No! That's not an act! That is absolutely bona fide real as... Have I got the...
I'm in, then. I'm in.
Yeah, exactly, you see. I did have the... I've got a double album, but I don't know if I've got it on my computer. The whole country is going, please don't have the Wildman Fisher double album on your computer. Oh, yes, I have. yes. Oh, this is a good one. There we go. This is a good one. Hang on, here we go. Hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. Here we go. Oh, no, not that one. This one. This one. Fish heads. This is great.
Fish heads, roly-poly fish heads. Eat them up, yum. Eat them up, yum. I took a fish head out to see a movie. We had fun. Fish heads, roly-poly fish heads. Eat them up, yum. They don't play baseball, they don't play drums. Fish heads, roly-poly fish heads. Eat them up, yum. Eat them up, yum.
There we go. That, ladies and gentlemen, was Fish Heads by Wildman Fisher. Well, Tris and Dom, it's been great to talk to you, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to say goodbye to both of you.
Hello. I'll give Tris a chance.
Tatty bye. I didn't get any of that, but I'm sure they're very complimentary about the show. They go. That means there's room for you, dear listener. 0844 499 1000. I'm Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio.
Uncut after hours conversation for the up all night generation. Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Well, I'm still disappointed to find out that silencers don't actually make a gunshot go. But now Andy is saying silencers do work. I've used them. When has he ever had cause? Hey, Kath, so the thing is, right?
Yeah.
Silencers don't silence a gun. It's a myth. They don't do it. Someone sent me a video of a fella. He's got a gun, and he's all right. He's going to put the hang on. This is a
suppressor from Finland.
He's put a silencer on, and he's putting some bullets in. Now let's listen to it. So it should go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
My eyes on.
There we go.
You will hear a big difference.
Okay, well, that's still bang. That's still bang, bang.
Yeah, but it's not as loud a bang, is it?
But it's not... You're supposed to be able to sneak into someone's apartment and they're just sat at their desk on their leather chair and they're doing... They're signing off some bent deal with the local mayor or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you just... You stand... Because you don't put the silencer on before you go in the building. That would be foolish. You stand there. You put the silencer on. Like that. You screw it on. You take aim.
Two hands for a start. You did one.
Though. No. I'm doing one hand because I've.
Oh, you know you can't do that.
No, you can't. I've got a strong stance.
I know trained assassins, and they have to hold.
They're pussies.
Wow.
They're pussies.
Don't call them that. They're going to be putting their silencers on and coming down here.
Well, I'll hear it because it goes bang, bang, bang. So I go, oh, you've got a silencer. What you are?
Oh. Karate.
I do some karate in them. So that's a myth. But then Andy tweets, silencers do work. I've used them.
Oh.
But they have to be repacked after a few shots, which is a hassle. If you're murdering a lot of people, it is a hassle. They're not ubiquitous.
Mm.
Is that the right use of the
word
ubiquitous?
No, it's not. Ubiquitous means everywhere, doesn't it?
People asking me my thoughts on various bands. My thoughts on the Ruttles, I love them. My thoughts on the Jam, I don't love them.
Good thoughts.
0844 499 1000. So I'm talking about this player.
Which player?
The president of the Philippines. You heard about this guy?
Yes. What's he outlaw? He's banned?
No, mate. It's not what he's banned. It's what he's done.
What's he done?
I saw Philippines president kill a man with an Uzi.
What?
And this is it, right? Philippines president Rodrigo Duterte, very, allegedly once finished off one of his enemies and then shot him with an Uzi submachine gun.
Very thorough.
The claim was made by self-confessed hitman Edgar Matabato.
Okay.
Who accused the controversial leader of ordering more than 1,000 deaths during his 22 years as Davao City mayor. Right. Now, I heard about this on Radio 4. He killed... he had everybody killed, right? So he had his daughter's ex-boyfriend killed. I think someone... crashed their car into his son's car. They were killed. Yeah, they were killed. People that are like annoyed him and stuff. That he got killed. I mean, if he's killing someone who's crashed into his son's car, then anything above that is a definite
you
kill.
You could get killed for giving him evils. Tutting.
Thing is, though, I respect this guy.
Why?
Because he's a man of the people.
Well, dead people.
Speaking at a Senate inquiry into extrajudicial killings. Matabato claimed to have been part of the Davao hit squad and added, "Our job was to kill criminals like drug pushers, rapists, snatchers."
Sorry, what was the last one?
Snatchers.
What?
Snatchers.
Snatchers?
Snatchers,
what's a snatcher?
No, it says here. Since being elected in June, Duterte has urged citizens
he's
to
not
term
called dirty,
vigilante. Duterte.
Let me see.
Duterte. Duterte. Matabato, 57, claimed he personally heard Duterte, 71, order deaths while running the city. He described one alleged incident in 1993 where he and others were stopped in the road by a Justice Department agent who was wounded in the gunfight. Duterte is said to have arrived and finished the lawman off and then shot him by emptying two Uzi magazines into him. Oh, so it was magazines, not guns. Is it bullets or is he just had some literature? He claimed one suspected kidnapper was fed to crocodiles.
Gosh.
While other victims were disemboweled and thrown into the sea.
Wow.
He's
enjoying that, isn't he?
The leader has been accused of encouraging more than 3,000 drug-related killings since coming to power, earning him the nickname of the Punisher. During a rally, he warned crooks, if you destroy my country, I will kill you. What's interesting is he's not come out and denied it. He's not come out and said, well, that's not true.
No. He thinks it's fair enough.
But everyone involved with the story has mysteriously been disemboweled and dumped in the sea. Mm-hmm. That could happen. And part of me thinks, I wish Theresa May were a bit like that. Or if David Cameron had been a bit more like that, we wouldn't be calling him Britain's worst ever Prime Minister.
Well, you wouldn't call him it twice.
He was rubbish, David Cameron. Britain doesn't quit, he said, just weeks before quitting twice. Mm. And it's interesting he quit just
the day
when
before.
That Libya stuff came out about him being a dodgepot. You know how they killed Gaddafi? Mm. You know how they killed him?
Didn't they pull him out of a drain?
Yeah, and you know how they killed him?
What?
It is the most... I first heard this from Matt Ford. And I've heard slightly different variations of it, but the last one I heard was... where did I hear it? Anyway. I'll tell you during the break.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Right up there.
Wow, that's, that's your moral high ground gone, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I miss Gaddafi. I mean, he's a wicked man. I miss Gaddafi and Hussein.
Do you remember those interviews? I saw him on TV and he was just like this maniacal laughter. People would ask him questions and he'd just go, ha ha ha.
I liked his plastic surgery. Do you remember he went through a shell suit phase? Do you remember Gaddafi in his shell suits?
Yeah.
I mean, you just don't get players like that anymore. The closest we've got to Gaddafi and Hussein is Sepp Blatter. That's the closest we've got evil character.
No, you're forgetting one, a major one.
Go on. I'm not getting it psychically. You're going to have to say it with the words.
Kim Jong-il's boy.
No, Jong-un. Mm. No. He's just not got the style.
Well,
he's not got the
style. He's got a style.
Yeah, I don't think he's... I think in terms of evil dictators, I think Kim Jong-un is way down the list.
Do you know what he's banned this week? Sarcasm.
Has he?
Yeah.
Are you being sarcastic?
No, I mean it.
Because if you are, I'll kill you.
No, exactly.
Oh.
Exactly.
I was being sarcastic.
Well, I would not stand a chance there, would I? Because you think I've got a sarcastic face.
They also would kill you because you worked for the BBC. You can go on holiday to North Korea. I've talked about this before. I'd love to do it. You get taken around by a member. You're going like groups of about 20 or something, and you get taken around by a member of the government.
I would find it fascinating.
Yeah, well, then let's go.
All right.
Well, you go.
And but if you said come I'd back, get murdered.
Well, yeah. You go, Hugo, down to the Pugo.
Do you know where I'd really like to go? Again,
the pub,
Cuba.
Oh yeah,
but once it's not under the Castro's control
now,
because that was odd. I went there; and it was odd.
I'd like to go there when it was odd. I don't want to go there now. It's not Castro GTX anymore.
No, but it is him still.
But
it's not quite.
No, smoking the cigar.
I heard stories when I was there.
Yeah,
that his drivers weren't allowed to stay stationary in the car for longer than a certain amount of time because people would. Pop him off.
What noise is that? We've done the gun noises and that isn't anything like...
That's a Cuban silencer.
We're going to play the interview later on I did with Andy Partridge of XTC. And it was a good interview and some of you will have heard it. Some of you won't have heard it. That's life! That's what everybody says! One day you're up and down and the next you're down in bed.
Oh, that's a new one.
Yeah. Frank Sinatra.
You can't stop making the hits.
Frank
now.
Sinatra coming at you. Red fans. Shagadelic baby. Oh, Shagadelic baby. Groovy. Someone sent me another one of his catchphrases. He did another catchphrase. Hang on, it'd be worth it. Sent me another catchphrase. Hang on.
You doing it yet?
No, I've got to try and find it. It's quite a way down. It'd be worth it. Absolutely worth it, trust me. Hang on a minute. Shagadelic. Groovy. I'll behave!
Oh!
I'll behave! Shagadelic, baby! Behave! I'll behave!
Like Kenneth Williams.
More on silencers. Mike says, rubbish. From my time doing wet work for the Welsh Assembly, I can confirm silencers work. He then explains how they work.
Wet work? What's wet work?
Killing. He says, they store sound. It gets released when you take them off. You only take them off 25 clicks away, minimum. It's like when Scooby-Doo screams in a bag. He sees a ghost. Then he has to go outside and opens the bag and the bag goes, ah, Raggy! Raggy! Penny!
Good evening, boss. How are you?
Good evening, Penny.
Don't call him that, Penny.
Good evening.
He'll be hell to pay for me.
Good evening, Penny. I'm,
sorry. Yeah. I mean, boss Catherine. I was talking to Catherine at that point.
Yeah, chew on that.
What you got for us, Pen?
I was just thinking, what do you say about North Korea? A friend of mine went on holiday to North Korea, actually, and had quite a good time, I seem to recall. Not a good time as in you might have a good time elsewhere in the world, but he enjoyed it.
What did he
say? Also, he saw lots of people stood there pretending to be happy.
Having an absolutely brilliant time.
But also, you know, James Cridland, radio futurologist.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he went at least to the border, if not over it at some point, and wrote about it on his blog years ago.
With fairness, like he makes everything up on that blog. So
he was thinking about what it might be like if he went in the future.
Here we go. And the thing is, it's not that expensive, right? You can go. I'm on a website, Regent Holidays, right? If you go on the Kim Jong-il anniversary tour, it's only £1,250 per person for 7 days.
It sounds like a good work trip. You could take Ed on the way back to New Zealand or something as well, couldn't you?
Excludes flights. Apologies. Excludes flights. Christmas in North Korea? Jeez.
Is it allowed?
Yeah, yeah. From £1,330 per person. Let's have a little look, see what that...
What do you get for that package?
Enjoy the views from Zhuxi Tower. Tour the DMZ with an army escort.
Oh.
Bow to Pyongyang's leader statues. Visit the Koryo History Museum. That must be like the Korean equivalent of Oreos. Ride on the amazing Pyongyang Metro. Take a stroll through the Moranbong. Do you get to smoke the Moranbong? Day one.
Don't be sarcastic.
This morning, this is the Christmas trip. So Saturday, on Saturday the 24th of December, you fly to Pyongyang. Right? This morning, make your own way to Beijing Capital Airport, Terminal 2, to depart to... You arrive at Pyongyang at 3:30 local time. After passing through immigration and customs, meet your guides and driver, who will be with you for the rest of your time in Korea. From the airport, transfer to the Tadonggang microbrewery for a drink or two, brackets, at your own expense.
Gosh.
Giving the opportunity to meet your guides and get a quick insight into plans for the next few days. At a welcome dinner in a nearby restaurant, transfer to the Yangadago Hotel. Day two. This morning, visit the awesome Kumusan Sun's Palace near the foot of Mount Taesong. The palace is the mausoleum of President Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-il. For this site, the group will be required to dress smartly, or you will be shot. After lunch, go and do this. Here, millions of Koreans visit annually to pay their respects. The group will be expected to lay a wreath of flowers at the foot of the statue before bowing in unison before it. Flowers purchased locally for a small fee.
There's a tendency here, isn't there?
You would be...
Sounds like a brilliant Christmas.
Mate, that's Christmas Day you're doing that. It does.
Makes the Queen's speech sound like a good option, doesn't it?
You know what? I'm going to stay home and get drunk and watch rubbish instead, like I always do.
I'm going to be honest, right? I would love to do it. I mean, you would be tense the whole time you were there. And I would genuinely be scared when they, because if they found out I was a broadcaster and I'd worked for the BBC, that's when you get put in prison over there, isn't it? When you get held and then you get released. But, who was the, there's an American basketball player who it was really good friends with Kim Jong-un.
Was it?
Kim Jong-il. Who was it?
I don't know.
Big, tall, black guy.
Yeah, I know. Hang on.
Edward... I don't know. Anyway, but
someone to me. It was there and then it got knocked out of my head.
But I'd be up for that. I would totally, totally be up for that.
At Christmas?
No. The kids can be quite annoying, and I've seen most of those films before.
It's Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman, that's it, yeah. Dennis Rodman, thank you. So I'm going to go to North Korea for Christmas.
Right.
Where's Daddy? He's in prison in North Korea. Probably won't see him for another 50 years.
Oh, well.
Never mind.
Who's Where's my next present?
Who's Daddy? What? Penny!
It's Friday. We survived another week. Is that not reason to celebrate?
Penny Lane! Do, 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 do. Penny Lane! Isn't it funny? Does no one else think this is funny?
No.
Who was the other guitarist in Wings?
Paul Wickens.
No.
He was in it, though, wasn't he?
Doesn't matter.
He was in it, though, wasn't
he? Who was the other main... There were three people in Wings. Paul McCartney, Linda McCartney, and...
Paul Wickens.
Denny Lane! Dun, 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 dun. His name was Denny Lane.
Was it?
His name was Denny Lane. He was from... I think he was in The Move, originally. No, not The Move. He was in... If you gotta go, you better go,
go now. Go now, go now.
That's Denny Lane. Denny Lane! And you must wonder, right... If I was Paul McCartney and I was in a band with Denny Lane, every time I phoned him up, I'd go, is that Denny Lane? Every single time.
Well, the lesson in this is...
Hey, you want to give a big round of applause for my guitarist? His name is Denny Lane. And everyone would be applauding, but they wouldn't be applauding Denny Lane. They'd be applauding Paul for singing a bit of Penny Lane and changing it to Denny Lane. Dun, dun. Or maybe, here's the thing. Maybe McCartney's never even made the connection. He's just never joined the dots. He just is made Denny.
Thinking. That's possible.
It's Denny. It's just Denny. Where's Denny? Let's get Denny. Where's Denny? You're right, Denny. And then, like, just before he dies, on his deathbed, McCartney go, oh, no. Denny Lane. Sounds a bit like Penny Lane. Oh. And then he dies. Just as he's got the best joke of his career.
Mm.
Denny Lane. It's true.
Do you know what I'm thinking while I'm watching you do this?
Yes, mate.
It's the last time I buy you a bottle of pop.
Oh, I've had this. I've had...
What have you been drinking?
Cockalingi Coca-Cola from Australia.
I've had some...
Send him to Lal's pen.
I've had some Cockalingi Coca-Cola from Australia. Penny, did we get to the point... Did we get to the...
No point. I was just ringing to say it was Friday and I've had a bottle of red wine and I thought I'd...
You're doing well.
But I've got to go dancing in the morning. I need help.
What kind of dancing?
I'm doing, don't mind. I can tell you this now because no one will be listening who's doing it. We're doing a flash mob with the WI in the morning.
Uh-oh.
And I'm dreading it.
I bet you are. Those things are illegal now. That's not even a joke. They're genuinely illegal now.
We spoke about this before, didn't we? Yeah, they got a bit dodgy, didn't they? Someone thought they were a load of terrorists. But we're going to go do it in Stevenage tomorrow and it's just going to be...
Are you allowed to tell us what you're going to do?
We're dancing to, Sisters Are Doing It To Themselves.
Sisters are doing it to themselves.
We've got a whole choreographed dance and everything.
Oh, God.
Which I keep forgetting.
Is there some finger clicking? Tell me there's some finger clicking.
There's finger clicking.
Do you remember?
There's finger clicking, there's clapping, there's the whole lot.
There's twatting?
Clapping!
Do you remember after 9/11? Right. Do you remember after 9/11, right? Maybe this was just because I lived in London at the time, right? And I used to hang out with drug dealers and stuff, right? Who were quite paranoid people. I remember loads of people saying at separate times, like the next 3 or 4 years after 9/11, Ian, man, just to let you know, a friend of mine, he was out in town and he saw an Arab drop his wallet. And he picked the wallet up and he gave it to the Arab. And the Arab was so grateful, he said to him, don't go into Leicester Square next Tuesday. Do you remember all those?
There was loads of stories.
There was loads of them. It was always like an Arab or a Muslim-looking fella. And some kindness had been done. And so he turned and said, yeah, don't go into Leicester Square next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Don't go.
Yeah,
don't
it was always like, yeah,
my friend,
don't go on the Piccadilly line on that date. Don't go out of Heathrow on that date.
Don't go to Heathrow on that day. That is my word.
Do you think it was either true?
Yeah, could be true.
And a joke.
True, and they stopped
or
it.
Or false and bullshine.
True, and well, true.
They were all word of mouth, weren't they? Because that was like before Facebook and Twitter and everything.
Penny, it's all we had was our mouths and the words that came from within. Happy tree!
Yes.
Yes?
Can I do my machine gun?
Yeah, please do, man. It's a tractor.
That's a helicopter.
That's a tractor.
It's a helicopter.
It's a tractor.
It's a helicopter.
It's not a machine gun.
Or
That's one of those ping pong guns that fires off ping pong balls.
Okay. Or those ladies. Yeah. Those ladies in... What?
Don't. Please, mate.
You should go to Pyongyang and start up a radio station.
The what, sorry?
You should go to Pyongyang and start up a radio station.
Do you think... Here's the thing. Do you think this shtick, Happy Tree, would go down well under the glorious leader?
It would be a good career move.
Could be. A good... Hey! Hey, he's done a joke. Kath's missed it. Do it again. She's missed the joke. Go on.
No, it's not worth it. It's not worth it.
It will be a good career move.
No, I didn't miss it.
Oh.
She just didn't react like anybody should.
Wow.
Yes, you were talking about Uzis before.
Yes, I was. That's correct.
Do you remember, I'm sure you do, the day-to-day, the funniest moment of the day-to-day?
The rap singer, Fur Q.
Uzi lover.
Cop! Cop! Mother! Yeah.
Uzi
lover. Uzi lover.
Would no, be like a metal
I
in
don't,
my hand.
I don't remember it. No, not at all.
I won't say, no, well, there's too much. But the funniest thing was, you know, when it was bleeped out with orchestra stabs.
I don't remember it. This is interesting. We've got a tweet here. Silencers are increasingly becoming redundant because modern firearms now have mute buttons. That's interesting.
Mm. Technology, isn't it?
Yeah, technology.
Yeah.
Happy Tree, thank you for that. Sorry it's brief. We're up against it. Up against it. Up against it. Oh, actually, we had another minute. I mistimed it. Sorry, Happy Tree. That was I thought I had 20 seconds. I had 80 seconds. Oh. So my apologies. I owe you 60 seconds. You know.
Although, I'm going to deduct some points for that quote-unquote joke.
I like the joke.
Well.
Wonder Woman says, can you ask Kath to say the word maniacal?
Maniacal. Okay. Why? Why?
She says it sounds funny when you say it.
Oh, well. It's just my inherent funniness.
Okay.
Maniacal. There's a free one.
Well. I'm having fun. Just had to think that. I just had to weigh up the pros and the cons.
Yeah.
It is very hot in here. It's not as hot as it has been. It's very hot in here. I had to get a lift up to the 16th floor in a building today. And I got off at the 15th floor by mistake, right? And as soon as I got out, I thought, I'm on the wrong floor. But there was someone in the lift. So I had to stride out purposefully and pretend it was my floor, then wait for that lift to disappear and then press the button again.
Oh, you didn't decide to take the stairs and think, well, maybe...
I couldn't find the stairs!
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
We are Talk.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
Talk Radio.
Another half an hour or so of your phone calls. Then we're going to play the interview I did with Andy Partridge from XTC. Did that a while ago. But now's a good time to give us a call. No straight to air tonight. We'll do that one night next week, I promise. 0844 499 1000. I'm Ian Lee. You're listening to Talk Radio.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I mean, it's just... Right! It's genius.
Mm. It's a frenzy.
It's genius. It's easier to follow because we're watching a video. Someone's made a video of it, so the images come up. And it's just so fast. He's so frenetic. I mean, it's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Tell you what it isn't.
Yeah.
Number 35 of the dance charts.
Yeah, that's true, actually. What a loser. We'll play the... I always want to call him Wild Al, but Wild Al was a bloke called Wild Al Kelly, who used to, for a brief period, was a presenter on the original Talk Radio. Mm. And I phoned him up once, pretending I was auditioning to be the drummer in Paul McCartney's band. I don't know what that was. And a lot of people... I don't really remember Wild Al very well, but I did used to listen to him. And a lot of people have, radio geeks have a lot of fond memories for him. But another forgotten name, as we will be one day, you know, it will happen to us. Katia!
Yes, hello. I wanted to say, you can listen to North Korean recordings.
Yes.
It's very, very interesting, you know, the radio stuff. It's just, I've sent a link. It's northkoreanradio.com.
Well, where have you sent the link to?
To Tris, I think, sorry.
Okay, Tris is going to be enjoying that.
Sorry, Katya, when you said you'd sent the link, I thought you meant you'd sent it to either me or Catherine so we could play it on the air. You've sent it to another listener. Okay, well, brilliant. No, that's great. Flipping,
yeah. We're going to enjoy not listening to that.
Yeah, well, Tris, when you've heard it, do please let us know what you think about it.
It's even more interesting when you haven't heard it, to be honest. Yeah.
Okay, but, the last recording is from 9th of July 2010.
Are you talking to us or to Tris now?
A bit of both.
Okay,
really.
Yeah.
And I can hear echo. Hello.
Echo.
Have you?
No.
Okay.
Hello.
I
think it's your phone.
That's really all that I wanted to say. NorthKoreanRadio.com.
So you phoned up to big up another radio station.
It's quite good, actually.
As opposed to what?
Oh, do you know, it's the only place in the world where there is a 30-minute difference.
No, it's not.
Oh, yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes.
Mean like a time zone of 30 minutes? No, it's not.
Time zone, yes.
No.
Where's the other place?
I think it's in India. There
really?
There is another place in the world that has a 30-minute time difference instead of an hour. I think it's on the Indian continent, subcontinent.
And what's the reason for that?
Because they're dumb.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the reason is, but I just... You just wanted to know if there was another one. You stated categorically that was the only one. I've proved you incorrect, and you've not apologised.
Well, I have to check that out.
Well, you don't have to check it. I'm telling you it.
Well, you're not the voice of reason, are you?
Oh, come on, Katya. I've won Celebrity Mastermind, and yeah, they make it a little bit easier, but it's still hard. I was up against Jimmy McGovern. Is it Jimmy McGovern?
I don't know.
He wrote Cracker.
Yes.
Yeah, I was up against Jimmy McGovern, Scott Mills, who steals stuff from other radio shows. Luckily...
you couldn't see your answers.
Yeah, thank you. And Nolan.
Which?
I don't know. Might have been the one that's passed away, actually. Oh. It wasn't Colleen. Might have been Linda. Was it Linda that passed away?
Not sure.
Oh, it's a shame, that, actually. She was delightful. Whichever Nolan it was, she was absolutely delightful. But I thrashed them. And, of course, the monkeys was my category. But then you do the general knowledge. And I got a lot right in the general knowledge as well. Some I took an educated guess and some I knew the answer to. But if they'd have said, is there one or... okay, you got that correct. Next question. Is there one or is there two...
beep, 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 beep.
I've started, so I'll finish. Is there one or is there two? He's Welsh, isn't he? I'm from Wales.
Oh.
Is there one or is there two time zones in the world where it's only half an hour, like? And I'd go, well, there's two.
And he'd go, tidy.
He'd go, there's bang tidy, that is. Hey, you're right, lad. There's two. There's one in North Korea and one in the Indian subcontinent because they're thick over there. Well done, well done, Ian. You are tonight's champion. Champion of champions. I think the answer to that is I'm right, Katya.
No, well, okay, yeah, no.
Here's the thing. Do you want to hear about a really lazy man?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. That's the correct answer. Just going past Madonna's arse. Listen to this lazy man, right? And it says here he's a superhero, granddad. Is he, Eck? 75 marathons in 75 days, age 75. He raised £75,000 for school kids. Lazy. He should have waited a year and done 76 marathons in 76 days, age 76, and raised £76,000 for school
You're
kids.
You're right.
He's lazy.
What a chancer.
What an absolute chancer. With a broad grin, granddad. They put all this language into emotive language. A broad grin. Granddad Ray Matthews ran over the line after completing his 75th marathon and declared, "I'm feeling better than I should." The super fit 75-year-old, oh, it makes you want to puke, finished his remarkable feat. I've just seen the time for one of his marathons. Jeez. In just 75 days, in the bid to raise £75,000 for special needs school, he was cheered by supporters as he ran the final yards into the grounds of the school. Let's get the time for his marathon. Going to the Hero Race stats for one of his 75 marathons, right? 6 hours, 4 minutes and 49 seconds. Flipping heck. Six. You can walk a marathon in 5 hours.
You can. We've got long legs.
Shut up. You can walk a marathon in 5 hours. He ran it in over 6 hours? That doesn't even make sense. Was he going backwards in time? What was this? What is this? This is nonsense. This man should not get this £75,000. The special needs school should not get the money, and they should sue him for breach of contract.
How long is a marathon?
Excuse me?
How long is a marathon?
Well, you should know. They started on the continent.
That's true.
How long do you think a marathon is?
Okay.
Have a guess. We can give you some clues, right? So this old fella ran it in 6 hours, 4 minutes, 49 seconds. You could walk it in 5 hours, a decent time.
Okay, 5 kilometres an hour.
Okay, here we go. We need it in miles, I'm afraid.
In miles.
Yeah, we're not in Europe anymore.
a good run would be under 3 hours.
Okay.
The so Kenyans can do it in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, they don't mess around, do they?
No.
21 miles?
Very close, Katia, but the fact that you don't know what a marathon is...
not sure. Is it 26?
It's 26.3 miles.
Oh, I forgot 0.3.
Flipping. 26 miles. You can have that. It takes 26 miles. It's the distance from Athens to Marathon.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's true.
26 and a 0.3.
Yeah. How could you not know that, Katia?
Why should I know?
Because everybody knows.
Ooh.
Hang on a second. Rosie? Oh, flipping it.
What was that?
How long is a marathon, Rosie?
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear the rose. All I heard was... Hip, hip, hip.
We haven't got time for this. How...
Sorry, it's 26 miles, I knew that.
Thank you. Everybody knows it.
I don't think so. Sorry, Katia.
Everybody knows it, Katia.
I don't think so. Really? I'm feeling ashamed of it. And I don't think everybody knows that.
Everybody knows.
Everybody knows.
Yeah. Even I knew, and I didn't know I knew, but I knew.
Wow. Now I know why you know. Because of the London Marathon.
No, because of the... Just marathons. Everyone knows.
They're all the same length.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Five and a half marathons. All right, that's okay, I guess.
How long, Katia, how long is a half marathon?
Times tables.
Katia? A half marathon is?
That's a trick question.
How long is a half marathon? I don't know, is your voice going so high? serious question, how long is a half marathon?
Half of the marathon.
How long is it?
Well, that's 13 miles.
Congratulations, Katia, well done. And how long is a 5K run?
Okay. Now you're being silly.
Thank you very much for calling, Katia. Rosie.
Hello.
Hello, Rosie. What have you got for us?
While I'm listening to this, I've also got Facebook on the go, and I've noticed that I've been getting these weird friend requests, and I just wonder if any other girls
sex
were getting
bots.
Them.
Is it sex bots?
Like Penny or Katia or anybody else.
Why is everyone using this show to
talk to their mates?
Well, you won't be getting them. Well, maybe Kath. What about you,
Kath? Kath, have you had...
Oh, I get a lot of requests.
Do you? Are they all from, like, Algeria and places like that?
I've had a few.
Yeah, I'm not adding any of them, but it's just there's one that's put a picture of Frank Lampard as his profile picture, but he's called Frank Lies.
Frank Lies?
Yeah, exactly.
So, what are they after?
Well, they want to be friends, but I did do it once because they had a mutual friend. I thought, oh, that's okay. He knows someone I know.
Yeah.
So I added him, and then I got
a willy picture.
No, it wasn't like that.
Oh,
he was an African guy, and he would kept sort of telling me how poor he was, and I think he wanted a English wife.
And anyway, you've been married for 25 years.
Well, I've been married for 32 years,
but not to him.
31 years, 32, well, 31. Yeah.
I've not.
Nigel.
As we know, was being filmed by Kylie Minogue on Skype. Did you hear this?
You sure that's not the other way round?
I did say to him, don't masturbate and don't give her your bank details because I don't want him to be. I don't want the band to crash and burn at the just as we're reaching our peak.
Yeah,
although scandal
that
is the way.
Doesn't look good, does it?
I don't want if anyone's been involved in a sex scandal, I want it to be me. Okay. I want to be involved in one. But I do... Nigel, how does Nigel get... I've never had a scammer on Skype. Let's turn on Skype, right? I tell you what we'll do is we'll turn on Skype and we'll see if we get a scammer. Because it would be good to be scammed on Skype, wouldn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I've never been Skyped.
I'm on Skype. Let's see. There's a way of setting it, isn't it? So that... Isn't it? There's a way of setting it so it says you're willing to take random calls. Do you still get... Preferences.
Wide open.
Privacy. Yeah. Show my picture to anyone. Allow calls from anyone. Receive calls. Allow video screen sharing from anyone. Allow messages from anyone. Do I have to calls receive normally? Show current call. I have to do something. There's a setting you have to do. So you can get... It kind of just flashes up. I'm open for business.
What's this on your PC or...?
Well, it's...
Or yeah. Can you do it on the phone?
Oh, because I'm talking to my mum.
Well, it's Skype.
Oh, shut up, you.
Rosie, I've got to move on because I'm late for an ad break. We'll explain more after this.
Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
JJ?
Yes.
Yes. Wagwan, JJ.
All good.
Do you know much about Skype?
A little bit.
There used to be a setting on there that was basically like putting a red light on in your bedroom window. It basically meant... There was a setting and it was something like, I'm open to take random calls from anybody. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I can't find it now. I've changed my mood. My mood is call me, I'm up for fun and I'm rich. But I can't find the setting. If anyone knows, tell me on Twitter, please. I can't find the setting that says I'm up for random calls. JJ's gone. Can we get JJ back? I don't know what... maybe he's going to go and get me on... I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know. But there used to be a way of doing that. And I know like some horny women... would get in touch with soldiers in the Gulf.
Really?
Yeah. JJ.
Yeah.
Wagwan, JJ.
Safe.
Aye. So, how do I do it?
It's already on. As soon as you're logged in, you're available.
Really?
You have to switch it off rather than switch it on.
But there's nowhere to switch it off, which makes me think you're making that up.
That's how it is.
Okay, fair
enough. No, you've got to go to privacy settings. They make it difficult.
Well, where's privacy In preferences. In preferences.
Somewhere, no settings.
Privacy. Show my picture to anyone. Allow calls from anyone. Receive calls from anyone. Allow video and screen sharing from anyone. Allow messages for anyone. But it does, there's not that setting that is you can call me Al. Anyway, JJ, I feel that I'm boring you with this. So what have you got for us?
A game.
Okay, yeah, I want to play a game.
Right. So the game is that you can't say 17.
Okay.
Right. So, Ian, what's your favourite band?
17. Oh, no!
You idiot!
Straight away. Right, can Kath do it?
Cool. Yeah.
Kath, you have a go.
Yeah.
It's harder than it sounds.
Go on.
Okay, Kath. What school did you go to?
Oh.
I went to Redbourne Upper School.
Awesome. What's 10 plus 8?
18.
What's 18 minus 1?
17. Oh!
Oh, flip it. Let me have a go.
It's a hard game.
Let me have a go,
JJ.
Go on, let me do it. Go on.
Yeah. All right. So, Ian.
Yeah.
What's your favourite band?
By the way, if anyone wants to play, you've got 3 minutes. 0844 499 1000. Favourite band, The Monkees.
Cool. What's your favourite track of The Monkees?
Oh, Daydream Believer.
And what album was that on?
It's on The Birds, The Bees and The Monkees.
And what track number was that on that particular album?
It's track number 5.
And what's 5 plus 12?
I don't know. I'm not very good at maths.
All right, no worries. Do you know any numbers?
I know 6 numbers.
Which ones do you know?
1.
Yep.
5.
Yep.
92.
Yep.
163.
Do you know the number 30?
Yes, I do. That's the backwards E and the O.
And do you know the number 40?
Yeah, I do. That's the... Oh!
Hang on. We got one.
We've got... Hang on. Hello?
Ryan Reynolds!
Okay. Yes, I do know the number 40.
40 and 30 is what?
70.
That's 70. You said it.
Said 70.
Yeah, that's what you were supposed to say.
But you said 70...
Yeah, you done it.
But I didn't. You said another number.
You can't say you almost.
It's a good game, JJ. How long have you been playing that for, mate?
Someone did it to me earlier today in the past.
The first one we could have got away with. The second one we kind of had to let go. Well, JJ, thank you for that. When I asked him how long he'd been playing that game, I didn't realise he'd actually been playing that game.
Yeah.
In the
pub.
Boozer.
Quite a lot earlier, I would suggest.
Ray, who did the 100 kilometre Sahara Ultra Marathon at 71, and once ran 150 miles in one go, said the hardest part was raising the £75,000 for a soft playground for Newman School. He was disappointed when Facebook rejected a £12 advert for his effort. He's so far raised £13,476. He's £60,000 off. This guy. It's people
he
like this.
He needs to get his trainers back on, do some proper work.
People like this make me sick. Mm. Right? Absolute chances. Mm. Right? Dearie me. You know, that's nothing. That's nothing at all.
What's that going to buy that school?
Not a lot.
No.
Unbelievable. Happy 100th anniversary of tanks being used in battle.
Thanks very much.
It's a pleasure. I'm not sure what you've been doing to celebrate it.
I've been sitting in a bin.
I'm in the phone booth, it's a one across the hall! That doesn't make sense, that line. The phone booth? The one across
the hall? Surely it's outside.
Well... Maybe she means like in halls of residence and it's the thing with the big plastic bit over the top of it. That could be it. I've got to talk for 7 seconds.
Go on then.
I can't be bothered. So I'm going to be quiet for 2.
Late night Ian Lee. Unfiltered night talk with the original king of unconventional conversation on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Well. One of the greatest bands of all time are, of course, the mighty XTC. At XTC fans, if you want to follow Andy Partridge on Twitter. Andy Partridge is not only... I genuinely think a musical genius. Just written some of the most amazing songs ever. He also wrote some a song for the new Monkees album. And I think he's absolutely superb. Anyway, Andy came on this show, I think in April, which was like forever ago. And we're digging out some of these old interviews just because the audience is much bigger than it was then. And a lot of you may have missed them. And we think they're certainly worth having a listen. And if you've not really got into XTC, do go and check out Senses Working Overtime. And Peter Pumpkinhead and the Mayor of Simpleton. There you go. There's three for starters. So, Andy Partridge came on my show. I'm a huge fan. And this is what happened when he came on. Alive. Well, you know, I'm happy this is a talk station, of course. It feeds the kids, but if it were a music station, we'd have the whole of that. But what the hell, we play all of the Duke songs this evening. It will be a Duke special. Evening, dear listener, this is Ian Lee, Talk Radio. Don't give us a call for 20 minutes or so, because we've got a special guest on. It's Andy Partridge. Evening, Andy.
Oh, my good grief, it is I. Yeah, should we do this in theatrical loving talk?
For good...
How are you, dear boy?
Oh, my darling Partridge, it's so marvellous to hear from you.
Lovely.
How... Listen, Andy Partridge, I've got to say... Now, I've got to say, I'm always... We had John Sebastian on the other day. From the Loving Spoonful. And I'm aware that to put some people in context, you have to say... John Sebastian, from the Loving Spoonful. Andy Partridge, of XTC. Does that ever get annoying?
Sometimes you can, it's okay, because you can sort of hide behind it, like, you know, it's that bloke out of.
Yes.
That's good, because if you want to hide, that's good. And then other times you think, what? They don't know me. They'll talk about Johnny Marr.
Oh.
But they won't say Johnny Marr at the Smiths.
And you haven't been out of XTC for what, 20 years?
About 10.
10? Oh, no, okay, you're right. I'm ageing you, of course. I'm ageing you, yes, about...
Yeah, well, it's easier to do it verbally than cutting through and counting the rings.
What was the last one? The last one was Wasp Star, wasn't it, the last album?
Last official XTC album was Wasp Star, yes, which is difficult to say on borrowed teeth, I've got to be honest with you.
Have you been having a drink tonight as well?
No, I've been totally sober tonight. I've been sat here strumming my electric pygmy, awaiting your call.
I feel privileged to have
I'm not going plugged in, though. The little bloater doesn't like it.
XTC is done. We've spoken about this privately, you know. XTC is done. That ain't happening no more, is it?
No. We had a fantastic run. I mean, really good runs.
Oh, yes.
In the public eye from 77 till 2006. Which isn't bad, and before 77, you know, from 72 up to 77, it was like struggling pubs, working men's clubs, all that kind of stuff, you know, the usual story.
I got delivered this today, so I've not read it, and I've paid for this out of my own wallet, the new book, Complicated Game, Inside the Songs of XTC. It's a beautiful looking book. It's
paper pages, and some of the letters are printed in the right combination, so they sort of randomly form words.
I can tell it's a good book because it's heavy.
Oof.
That's it's like those people that say, I'm looking for some art. What kind of art do you want? Oh, about this big, you know.
yeah, exactly.
What is it? What is this book?
Covers on it to make it heavy. It's So you got your copy of it.
I bought it. Yeah, I've got it here. I'm holding it now, and it came today, so I've not had a chance to read it. But I flicked through it. It's about you writing songs, isn't it?
It is. is, yeah. It's a series of interviews I did about 10 years ago with a friend of mine called Todd Bernhardt, an American chap. And, you know, we would talk on the phone pretty much every week. And he said to me one day, he said, look, I'll tell you what, why don't I start recording these conversations and I'll ask you specifically about some of the songs of yours that I like and we can slap them up on the internet. I said, yeah, sure, okay. So we did that. And then after, I don't know how many we did of these, like 100 and something of these, we sort of forgot about them, you know. And then years later, I don't know who it was, maybe somebody he mentioned it to or whatever, said, you should put these in a book, you know. And we started to think, ooh, book, oh, I'd love to read a book one day, you know. So, no, it was just a case of get it down on paper and put some of these interviews. And they're not really interviews, it's just sort of chats between friends, really.
It looks lovely. It does look like a classy book, and it is good. I'm surprised there aren't more books about you or Colin or the band. You know, there's Chalk Hills and Children, that's one, isn't it? But that's quite old now.
Yeah, and there's one called Song Stories, which is conversations with myself, Colin Moulding and Dave Gregory about pretty much a sentence or two about everything we ever recorded up to that point. But no, there's not many photographs, there's not much in the way of films. There's a lot of records, but there's, you know, I think the Yeti has been photographed more than we have.
You say there's not a lot of films.
He wears nicer trousers.
There are quite a few films of you guys that, you know, I've seen. There are hooky, you know, DVDs floating around and stuff on YouTube, you know, pretending to record Towers of London and various programs like that.
BBC wouldn't get away with that these days.
TV fakery.
So
it's a documentary about you recording a song, but you'd already recorded the song, so you were faking recording the song.
Exactly. It was fakery on an Attenborough level. BBC actually called us up while we were making the Black Sea album.
Yeah.
And said, can we come in and film you making the album? And we thought, yeah, great. Nobody's ever filmed us making an album. Yeah, come on down. And they said, it'll take a little while to get all the permissions and, you know, build some cameras, no doubt. And we said, okay, we'll be here for a few more weeks yet. And they never called us. And then we went out on tour for X amount of months, came back, and they said, okay, we're ready. And we said, well, look, the album's out. You know, it's quite a while ago now. And they said, well, look, couldn't you just fake the recording of the current single?
Terrible.
I know. And so we all had to get polar bear outfits on and pretend to give birth to each other. And nobody knows any different. And we sort of did it exactly like we would have done the original, you know, just playing and grooving and dicking around and being at the Manor and, you know, just being XTC, really. A bunch of smart-ass yokels.
You're still doing stuff. You're not doing stuff as XTC, but you're still releasing CDs. Well, actually, I say you're not doing stuff as XTC. You are remastering the back catalogue and bringing out really high quality repackages.
Well, remastering for vinyl and CD release, but the big thrill with the recorded stuff is Stephen Wilson, Mr. If You Want It in 5.1 Surround Sound, he's the man to go to. He's working his way through our back catalogue when the master tapes can be found. I have to add that, you know, people say to me, oh, why aren't they coming out in chronological order? Well, it's as simple is that they can't find all the tapes. You know, the one thing a record company has to do is keep your tapes safe, you know, because that's all that it's about, is the recorded work.
Yeah.
And they can't find most of the material.
So what is that? Is that just that they got chucked, someone lost them, someone nicked them? What is it?
Well, all sorts of stories. I mean, I've heard horror stories from people that used to work at Virgin saying, oh, I saw some of your tapes the other week. They were down an old railway tunnel, which was boarded up, and they had Vexian shelves down this old railway tunnel, and they were spilling out all over the floor and stuff, you know. And I'm thinking, my goodness, here was me thinking they'd be all in temperature-controlled, you know, a situation like a big warehouse, like Indiana Jones.
Oh, right, yeah.
Huge warehouse.
Yes.
With crates, you know, and, well, let's see, let's walk on down to X and they'll be in the XTC. No, most of the tapes would be you know, you had no idea where they were. And in fact, some have just been found in New York, which is...
Wow.
really odd, which is good because it means that we can carry on getting these surround sound mixes done, which is great because people are loving them. You know, they're loving sitting inside the music.
Well, they are loving. Did this start with? And I don't want to. I know this is uncomfortable territory, so I don't want to pry too much.
No. Nothing's uncomfortable.
Are you sure?
Nothing verboten.
Okay. Did this start with the remastering of Skylarking? Because that it came out again a few years ago as a big, fat sounding album after being a brilliant record, but sounding a little bit flat.
It sounded amazingly thin,
yeah.
In fact. We did our best when the tapes came back from a chap called Todd Rundgren, who some of you may have heard of. He mixed it over there. We weren't allowed at the mixing session because we were trouble. And he posted them over, and nobody liked the results.
Yeah.
The band didn't like them, and Virgin Records didn't like them. So we said, would you please mix it again? You know, brackets, a little bit better, close brackets. And he did some of them again and said, stuff it, I'm not doing it anymore. You're stuck with what you get, you know. And we were appalled at how thin it sounded.
Yeah.
There was no bass, there was no proper top. It was just a sort of middle sounding, like it was coming down a thick telephone or something, you know. And we did our best, you know, mastered it as best we could and blah, 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 and put the album out. And the album's a great sounding, a great sort of, how should we say, sequenced album. And it was some of our better material.
Oh, it's some amazing songs on there.
Years later, we got hold of the master stereo mix, and a chap called John Dent, who works down in Taunton in Somerset, I think it is.
That sounds about right, yeah. Over that way.
He's got a mastering studio down there, and we sent him the tapes, and he phoned me up one day, and he said, you know, these tapes, they sound pretty rotten. And I said, yeah, they do. And he said, it's because they're out of polarity. And I said, well, what does that mean? And he gave me a long scientific explanation. I said, oh, my goodness, how do we put that right? And he said, well, actually, I've got a device here with a combination of switches on it. And if I flick the right combination of switches,
he can reverse the polarity.
It'll be back to how it should have sounded. And I said, well, what causes this? And he said, well, the simplest thing is a few wires have been soldered wrongly in the studio.
Yeah.
He said, it's very common. It's very common. So I said, well, please flick your magic switches, Mr. Switchy Flick Man.
Very technical terms, Andy.
Yeah, very. It's, you know, I'm like George Martin when it comes to that. And a couple of days later, he sent a copy of what he'd done, and it sounded like 40, 50% better. And
yeah.
He was like, yes, that's how I remember it sounding in the studio. That's how it should sound. So it's great, you know. So we put out the Skylarking album with the sound it should have had,
yeah,
before the technical problems, and with the sleeve it should have
had.
Well,
this is what I want to ask you about.
Aye.
Whose pubic region is that? Because that is, I mean, that's an unpleasant sleeve. If I'm looking at it now, that's an unpleasant sleeve.
It's not. It's quite natural. It was the original idea.
Yeah.
The Skylarking sleeve would have had one bedecked with meadow flowers pubic region of a man on one side,
yes,
and a woman on the other side, and there was no sort of front or back. You could pick your sex, if you see what I mean.
Yes, ahead of the times,
the
really.
Quite pagan and sex in the open air, and a bit of lady chattel his lover and all that. And had a mock-up of the sleeve made, and I'm not going to tell you whose curlies they are.
Yes.
They're not mine, but I'm not going to tell you.
Are they a member of the bands?
No.
Okay. Okay.
I was asked not to go to the photo session because it would have made the person feel very uncomfortable.
Wow.
Anyway, and we got the sleeve mocked up, and we thought, this is great, you know, this is just what we want. And Virgin Records had a meeting about it, and, you know, most chaps there said, oh, this is fine, you know, it's okay. And one woman there really complained, oh, this is filth, this is degrading and all that, you know.
Oh.
But funnily, she didn't complain about the male side.
Oh, I see.
But anyway, they took this mock-up around to some record stores. Remember them?
Yes.
Things like HMV and Woolworths and, you know, whoever held the reins then. We're talking about the mid-80s, you know. And, of course, these record stores got all shirty about it. Oh, no, we couldn't. Oh, no, Mrs.
They went all Frankie Howard, did they? Al Price went Frankie Howard.
That they did, totally. Yes, really, Frankie Howard. Oh, no, stop. And they said, we'll show it, but only in a brown paper bag. Oh, that's no good, is it? and so Virgin called me up and said, look, it's coming out in a couple of weeks. You can't have it. You can't have that. Come up with another one quick. So I went through an old book that had some Swiss travel posters in it, and I found a nice one of a sort of very primitive drawing of a bloke tooting a flute and a woman tooting her flute. And I said to the art people that we used at the time, can you redraw this and change it around a bit so we don't get done for copyright and all that? And can you make the eye of the man a skylark?
Yeah.
So that's what we have. That was the last-minute replacement sleeve. So when we put it out a couple of years ago with the corrected sound, we put it out in the original cover, which was the Lady Chatterley's Lover, kind of a pubes a go-go.
Talk radio, I don't know what the hell was happening there. The computers took over. It was like Terminator. Andy Partridge is here. Evening, Andy.
Blimey, that was a long break.
I know.
We put wallpapered the room I'm in.
Flipping it. It was longer than we were all expecting. Are the Dukes ever going to get back together?
Oh, no, they shouldn't. They all died in a terrible blending accident.
The Dukes are brilliant. For those who don't know, they were like a little sort of secret anonymous side project that you lot did, where you pretended to be a psychedelic band and recorded some authentic kind of, you know, sort of 66, 67 psychedelic pop music.
Yeah, they were the band that myself and Dave Gregory wanted to be in when we were at school. You know, and we thought, yeah, when we grow up, we'll be in a band like that. You know, and then you grow up and you're in a band and it's nothing like that. Because times have changed, matey. And, you know, and I thought, God, we've got to put this right. We've got to be the band that we always thought we were going to be as school kids. So, yeah, we recorded a couple of albums worth of that sounded vaguely like every band you heard in 67, yeah. 68, really. 67, that was the target year.
You listen to the songs and you go, oh, I think I know that. Oh, that sounds like all that. And it's not ripping any songs off. It's just so affectionate in its attention to detail. Like Pale and Precious, it could be, you know, the follow-up to Good Vibrations.
Oh, you flatterer.
Oh, it's a beauty.
It's not bad, is it? Actually, when I came up with it, Dave Gregory took me aside in the studio and said, Partsy, I should do my Dave Gregory impression. Partsy, what the bloody hell are you doing throwing this away on the stupid bloody Dukes idea? It could be our next bloody single, you idiot. that was quite a good impression, but it plays havoc on the larynx.
Is this what? This is what I've got you on for. We've done all the fluff and the puff, and we'll do any more plugging
I've got my jumbo chords on.
You have been asked to write a song or songs for the new Monkees album. Not the new Monkees, the Monkees' new album. It's the Monkees' 50th anniversary this year. As you know, and most of the listeners know, I am obsessed with the Monkees. My favourite group.
Monkeytastic, aren't you?
My favourite group, having a song written by one of my favourite songwriters. How did that come about? And tell us about the song.
Well, first you've got to tell me your favourite Monkees album.
It's a tough one. It's probably Head.
Really?
Yeah, it's Head.
I'm more of a Pisces, Aquarius, Capricorn and Jones Limited. That's what most people, they forget the Limited on the end.
Yes.
We'll call it Pisces. I'm more your Pisces. That was my first use of Moog synthesizer on pop album.
Yeah, I know, exactly. It was innovative. You were a huge Monkees fan. You, did someone mention, now I knew that you'd won a competition in the Monkees Monthly drawing a picture of Mickey Dolenz.
Yeah, I was Monkees obsessed as a youngster.
Did you apply for a pen pal in the Monkees Monthly as well?
No, what happened is I did this cartoon. I can't remember what age I was. Pretty much a stripling, you know. And I did this caricature of Mickey Dolenz because he was the easiest one to caricature.
Mm.
I sent it off thinking, I won't win anything, you know. And, lo and behold, I'd won a tenner. I was one of, like, the four winners or something. And I'd won a tenner, and that was a phenomenal amount of money for me then. And my dad said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you another tenner, and we can get this second-hand tape recorder. And we did. We got this second-hand tape recorder. And, of course, that was a huge boost to me in my career of making noises and recording them and messing with them and kind of getting into the career I find myself trapped in inexorably these days. But yeah, I did that. That was great winning that competition because I used to get the magazine Monkeys Monthly. You know,
I love it. And you have now written a song, which I think they've recorded. Have they recorded? You've written a couple of songs for the Monkees. How many have they done?
A fellow called Andrew Sandoval.
Yep.
He's like a sort of monkey archivist, but he also manages the band. And he got hold of me on Twitter and said, you know, can I have a chat with you? And he emailed me and said, the Monkees are going to make one last great sounding album. We're going to ask a lot of really good writers to contribute songs. Because they used to get America's Best Writers.
Yeah.
You know, they got the Carole Kings and the Neil Diamonds and the Boyson Hearts and, you know, all these people to write a material. And so they thought they'd go out with a bang and get the best writers they could to do this one last kaboom album. And I was so flattered to be asked, because that's like, you know, I equate it to, you know, the symbol for infinity, which is a snake eating its own tail.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I thought, wow, it's one of those moments. I've just started eating my own tail here. It's all perfectly joined up.
I spoke to you, and you were genuinely thrilled. I was talking to 15-year-old Andy Partridge. You were genuinely thrilled, weren't you?
I was totally gone on it. Because I was a huge Monkees fan. I used to, when I had hair, I mean, at the moment, I've got more hair coming out of the rim of my ears than I've got on my head. But
that's the way it goes, I'm afraid.
At the time, I had a sort of Peter Tork bowl cut. And I pestered my mum out of her catalogue to get us a Monkees shirt, which was like a double-panel, double-breasted shirt. And I had the jumbo cords with the big white wide plastic belt.
Yeah.
And I used to pick up my dad's old acoustic guitar behind the sofa, and I couldn't really play it, you know. And I'd pretend I was one of the Monkees, probably Peter Tork, because I had the haircut. And it was great, and so to be actually asked to write a song for the Monkees, I couldn't believe it. It blew me mind, man.
And they've done it. They've recorded it. Mickey Dolenz sent you a video of him singing it or something, didn't he?
Oh man, Mickey Dolenz sent me a little thing of him in the studio saying, you know, hi Andy, this is Mickey here. We're just finished the vocals to your song. They're putting it out as the first single. It's called "You Bring the Summer." And it's coming out in May, and I got an email two nights ago asking me for the chord charts for another of the songs.
Oh, hello, ladies and gentlemen, this is an exclusive. So, are you allowed to tell us anything about the second song?
I think they're doing a song called, what am I talking about? They are recording a song called Love's What I Want for Us All.
Oh, man.
And I'm that's chuffed with a dollop of cream on top and more chuff on top.
Good.
I'm absolutely amazed. I just hope they will do a good job, won't they? Come on, lads, you're going to do a brilliant.
Well, listen, because they've got really good musicians in there. They've got, I told you, Dolenz's voice now, he's 71. He's still got the voice.
He does sound great. I've heard some stuff he's been doing. Hey, look, can I say something about the Monkees and musicians?
Yeah, sure.
It used to annoy the shirt out of me.
Thank you very much indeed.
Yeah. it used to annoy the shirt out of me that people used to moan and say, "Oh, Monkees, they don't play their own instruments. They're not making the music on their own albums." And the same people, years later, if you said to them, "Well, okay, the first two Monkees albums, they're not making the music. They're only singing." The people that are making the music, the musicians, are the same people who are making all the music on the Beach Boys.
Yeah, the Beach Boys didn't play on the records. Pet Sounds isn't there.
Nobody moaned about that. Are the same musicians that are playing on the Mamas and Papas. Nobody moaned about that. The same musicians that are playing on the Byrds records. Nobody moaned about that. And so on and so on and so on and so on. But for some reason, the Monkees got it in the neck.
There's a real snobbery around it. A real snobbery.
Total snobbery about it. When you're listening to the Monkees' early recordings, you're listening to the Beach Boys musicians.